Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hymens.
With Fred Kirsch.
Will host a new host.
Host. Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. December 3rd? What date is today?
Third.
December 3rd, 2009.
3 weeks from Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So,
we haven't had our annual vacuum cleaner show, and what are you getting the wives for Christmas?
Too early for
it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. If they lose to the Dolphins this week, do we have that show next week? Do we kind of pack it in and say it's off-season time?
Yeah. Anyway, we are getting ready for the Dolphins. The Saints game is way in the past. We've turned the page on that game, and we're getting ready for the Dolphins. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Yes, you had to check the number.
I want to make sure I don't give out the restaurant CBS Scene phone number.
Why couldn't they use it?
That's a good point.
Guys, can the Patriots lose this game on Sunday?
No.
Andy says no.
I think there's a slight chance, but I would tend to agree with Andy.
Yeah, I will be shocked.
I would be
stunned.
Very, very, very surprised.
If they lose,
I may not
game.
Be able to do my writing afterwards because I'll be in like a coma because there's no way. They have Ricky Williams. You stop them, you win.
But Paul thinks they'll keep it close, and if you keep it close, things can happen.
I think Miami plays tight games, but that's what they've done all year, and they lose them. You know, when they play good teams. You know, they played New Orleans a hell of a lot better than the Patriots did, but they lost.
But I also, part of it, I think,
know,
is
that's what they do.
The same as with the Jets. The Patriots are embarrassed. They have something to prove it. They need the road game. It's a road. I think everything falls into place for them to try to have a bounce back that may or may not mean anything over the course of the season, but for them, this week is important.
And but unlike the Jets, though, Bill Belichick didn't cry this week.
What?
All right. But what
wouldn't
I said
Tony
when
Sparano, who would be the comparison because Rex Ryan cried?
On a roll.
No, the Patriots were embarrassed last week.
Right. Just like they.
So this week, Bill Belichick didn't cry afterwards.
How do you know?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either, but he said he has, basically.
Paul, have you something to say?
Have you something to say?
Not that could possibly top that, no, Fred.
Not me either.
So I thought you were going to say something, Paul.
Well, you had mentioned the close game, and I do think it'll be relatively close, but the comparison to the Jets, to me, is lost. If the way it will be close is if Miami doesn't turn the football over. The Jets turned it over, what, five times that day? Four times?
Right.
If that happens again, Miami won't be close. I thought that was a reasonably competitive game between Miami, I mean, between the Jets and the Patriots, but those turnovers were just impossible for them to overcome.
Right.
So when it was all said and done, it turned out to be a walkaway. I think the Patriots are going to win, you know, comfortably, but not easily, if that makes any sense.
No predictions.
Yeah. You know, I think they'll have the game. I think they'll get a lead, and they'll be ahead most of the way, all the way, but I don't think they'll blow them out.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. Obviously, today's Thursday, so at about 1:30 or so, we're going to have to hurry up and do our picks.
Quickly.
Quickly. But yesterday, Bill Belichick had his press conference around 5:15, player locker room around 4:30. So was there anything that you guys picked up on yesterday that might help you evaluate the state of this team at this point?
Well, there was some more of the back to the drawing board and where we're going kind of the topic we talked about yesterday. Even at this point in the season, they're still searching for an identity and a direction. But it was clear that the main emphasis point was the Saints game is in the past. You know, Brady said the mourning period is over. Same thing today. Anyone who tried to bring up Saints today, you know, we've moved past that. It's on to the Dolphins. That was clearly the message sent to them to pass along to the media. We're not talking about the Saints. So I think that was the biggest thing that came out of there. But some of the more interesting things was the talk about the way the Saints defended Moss and Welker and kind of doubled both of them at the same time and different than they've done all year. I think that probably is a big reason why it did seem like every time Welker caught one underneath, he got tackled because they were focusing on taking him away. And it also shows you why Aiken, Stanbeck, Watson were the guys Brady was throwing to because, you know, he can't force it in all the time to double coverage on both guys. So be interesting to see if that was just something they did because, you know, of their personnel or if that could be a, you know, quote-unquote blueprint. Well, just double Moss and Welker and the others can't beat you.
Yep. Any insight as to why everything was so late in the day yesterday?
Short week.
Bill said
Bill kept
they didn't
it.
Have enough time on Tuesday, and they wanted to, they used some more game planning time for the coaches on Wednesday, yesterday. So in the morning, they were still kind of putting together the game plan. It didn't change anything, really, for the players. They got the same game plan they would get on a Wednesday, except it was in a walk-through environment rather than an up-tempo environment as a practice. But the coaches used a little extra time.
Okay, so I'm reading between the lines here. And we talked about how Bill Belichick has been a little bit more complimentary of his team this year than usual, you know, looking for guys to praise and things like that. I have a feeling, and again, this is just my speculation, reading between the lines, that this week Bill Belichick put most of the blame on the coaches, that they didn't prepare the team well enough, and that, you know, to you know, symbolize that, we're going to give the coaches a little bit more time this week to prepare you because they need that time.
I'm not sure that's symbolic.
Okay.
I think I might agree with you that he puts a lot of it on. They made a lot of mental errors, and that gets back to coaching and having your team prepared. But I don't think it was symbolic on Wednesday. I think it was, let's make sure we got our crap together so we don't get embarrassed again.
Yeah.
Legitimate need extra time, make sure we're all doing.
Like we talked about yesterday, you know, having a walkthrough in shorts on Wednesday, this was a mental game that we screwed up on Monday night. So we don't need to necessarily go out there and bang each other. We need to get our heads screwed on straight.
But I think from the coaching perspective, it was we're not good enough to squeeze everything into Tuesday, whatever we had Tuesday. We need a little bit of Wednesday to make sure we have this game plan and our ducks in a row to, so that when we actually meet with the players – we're all on the same page, going in the same direction, and making sure everything is, you know, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. We can't assume they're going to be because we couldn't do it last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that it was a Monday night game on the road plays into it. I mean, I don't think you would see a dramatic altering of the schedule if it weren't.
No, but have they done it in the past?
Logistics. No. That's what we talked about yesterday.
In the past, if he was comfortable with what was going on, we squeeze it into Tuesday. Don't get any sleep, whatever, we'll squeeze it in. We're not good enough right now to squeeze things in. We need the extra time to make sure it's right.
I agree with that. I wanted to bring up the Welker thing, the defense, because I thought that what Wes said was pretty interesting. He said it was a new twist that they hadn't really seen with, you know, putting a safety over the top with Moss, which we see every week, and also bracketing Welker underneath, which we don't. And clearly it worked. I mean, Wes had, what, six catches for – I think he had six catches in the
35
game?
35 yards.
35 yards, and Randy had three for, like, 67 or something like that. It's about as effective as a team has been taking both of them away in the same game. Now, I think – I read one of the stories that Karen Gregan said no one had ever done it before. And looking back, I didn't really do any research in this. I did happen to look at one game that came to mind, and that was the AFC Championship game in 07 against San Diego. And I looked back, and it was pretty close. The only difference is there was a touchdown. Welker caught a touchdown. But I think he caught seven passes for 54 yards, and Moss had one for 18. So that's pretty close to shutting them both down. And if you remember that day, Brady threw three interceptions as well. And San Diego hung around and hung around and hung around in a very similar kind of fashion, only they didn't have the offensive firepower to put the game away the way New Orleans did because everybody was hurt for the Chargers.
Yep.
Just kind of interesting to see it can be done. And unlike then when you had Jabbar Gaffney and Dante Stallworth to fall back on, you don't.
Right.
As Andy pointed out, that's why Brady was going to Stanback and Watson and Aiken and those guys.
I just find it funny
that they can't beat you.
You look at it. You're generally rushing four. If you're going with a coverage-heavy game plan, you're rushing four, maybe less, maybe three at times. But you're rushing four. That leaves you seven. So if you're legitimately doubling up those two and two, now you have three left, right, because you take away the four, the two and the two. Well, I kind of like my chances of a guy matched up with Aiken or a guy matched up with Stanbeck, a guy matched up with Watson, a guy matched up with Falk. It just seems kind of logical. We've talked about it so long. This offense is two and through.
Right.
There's nobody.
Well,
and why are the Saints the first that have decided, you know what, why don't we just double both of them? That's all they have.
The key there is your tight end should be the mismatch. And
he wasn't.
And he wasn't.
Because every time Brady threw to him, it was a dangerous throw where he was trying to fit it in a spot, get it over the top, but in front of Sharper.
Right.
He just wasn't winning any one-on-one battles.
Yep. So, I don't know. I don't think that Miami's going to be able to do the same thing to the Patriots.
Why?
Why? I think...
I'm just going pure numbers-wise. I'm not even looking at personnel. I'm just doing a little X and O's numbers game. If they're going to put, five guys out there, essentially, and I double Moss and Welker, now I have three one-on-one matchups. Sam Aiken, Isaiah Stanbeck, Julie, maybe Edelman's a difference. Maybe he's better, and that makes a difference. I don't know. But aren't you going to take your chances and say, if I lose that game, if Isaiah Stanbeck beats me, Isaiah Stanbeck beat me.
Right.
Yeah, well, I agree with Fred. I don't think
it
will happen.
And you can even go eight, because on a Miami team, if you theoretically think Jason Taylor and Joey Porter are elite pass rushers, well, how about I now go with a three-man rush and go with eight in coverage? So now I even have an extra safety, whatever, to help out anywhere.
Yeah, the thing that I think separates it is I think actually Miami has better personnel than New Orleans on defense at all levels, even with the rookie corners, based on what the status. Now, I would say Chris McAllister and Mike McKenzie are better, more proven NFL players than Vontae Davis and Sean Smith, but not at the state that they were in coming off the street and playing their first games of the season on Monday night.
Mike McKenzie looked pretty good.
He looked great.
Yeah.
He looked great, but he's a 33-year-old guy coming off a broken kneecap. I mean, I'll take my chances with Vontae Davis. But
I like him.
The difference is that the Saints succeeded with Charles Grant and Will Smith and those guys, their pass rushers. The last time the Dolphins faced the Patriots, Joey Porter and Jason Taylor didn't get anywhere near Tom Brady. Now,
right.
If they do on Sunday afternoon, I could see Andy's whole scenario playing out again. I think the offensive line will play a better game, bottom line. I think that's the one area of the team that really let them down on offense. I don't think anybody played well on offense.
Yeah.
But most glaringly, I don't think the offensive line did well in pass protection. And that doesn't usually happen two games in a row.
Right. Unless this week they can't help it because they're so banged up. They're playing hobbled. There does come a point, obviously all offensive lines are hurting at this point because of the wear and tear. But there doesn't come a point where, being injured actually does inhibit your ability to move around out there, and there's no one to replace you. Are they at that point? I don't know. Stephen Neal looks like he's hurt every other play. Well, by the way, they were listed with an ankle, Paul, so you can make fun of me about the leg.
And Vince Wilfork wasn't on there.
No, but they listed Neil with an ankle. I'm sure he has a shoulder, too, but he was limping around.
He's got two of them.
It's actually a head.
Yeah.
He was listed on the injury report previously with a head injury.
Whatever. No, but you said that you thought he hurt his shoulder in the game.
Yeah, but he didn't miss any time.
No, he came off the game.
Yeah, he came right back in the next series.
No, I know, but he was in and out. Believe me. I saw one point where he dragged himself off the field. That's when I said he hurt his leg.
And then he came back in the next series.
I know, because they don't have anyone else.
But where's Dan Conley?
But these guys are not 100% healthy. And it's showing, I think. I think that's the reason why in the Saints game they didn't play that well. You know, I just think that they're banged up. You know?
I just think the Saints played better. I mean, there's some injury involved, and maybe Light wasn't quite ready to come back and couldn't play at his height. But they got beat.
I hope you're wrong. Because if it's just because they're banged up,
right,
they're not going to get any better.
No, I hear what you're saying.
I hope you're wrong. I hope they just had a bad game.
I'm throwing that out there.
And I know they are banged up. I'm not downplaying the injuries. They're all banged up. Copen, Light, Vollmer, Kazier, and Neal have all been significantly injured within the last month. The only guy that we don't know of anything, and I'm sure he's not feeling great, is Mankins. We just don't know of anything specific with him.
Right.
And by the way, I've been trying to talk to him all week, has not been in the locker room once. So maybe he is dealing with something. Hmm. He's always around, too.
Huh.
He's as accessible to the media as any of those guys, and he hasn't been around this week.
Huh. That's interesting. But, you know, so to me that's an issue. You know, whether it's run blocking or pass protection, you have to be able to move around. And, you know, if you have leg injuries, and it's tough. It's tough. So
I think the third option's the bigger issue, the lack of one.
The third receiver, yeah.
Not just wide receiver, third option.
Right.
I'll give you anybody. Somebody so that a defense fears focusing just on Welker and Moss. And I don't think there is anybody right now. I don't think Kevin Falk is that guy. I don't think Benjamin Watson's that guy. And the receivers, none of them are that guy right
now. Well, they are. Kevin Falk has been in spurts.
Right.
You know, Maroney has been in spurts. Morris really didn't show up too much in the game. But before he got hurt, he was in spurts. And I think, you know, Moss talked about that rhythm. And, you know, don't downplay, you know, you think, oh, you know, what is a rhythm? Players sense that. They know when things are clicking. And, you know, things are clicking when Brady is mixing it up, when he's, you know, like they used to say, finding the open receiver, finding the open guy, mixing guys in. And I think we're seeing that type of stuff in spurts, but we're not seeing whole drives where it's, you know, the sprinkler head.
Because
you know?
I think the defense is going to give you that. They'll allow you, and you're going to hit a Kevin Falk for 12 yards, but they're going to say, sometimes my guy's going to even take away that. Whoever's covering Kevin Falk will take it away. And if the worst I have to give up is an occasional 12, 15, 18-yard play to Falk, I'm going to say you're not going to get enough of those to string together a drive. You're not that good in the red zone.
No, but they used to be. That's the problem.
Well, they also used to have a third receiver.
The third option
that
they don't have now.
That's my point, the whole trickle-down effect. And other teams are saying, you will not beat me with your stars. Now, I won't say other teams. The Saints said, you won't beat me with your stars, and I'll take my chances with Ben Watson over the middle and Kevin Falk coming out of the backfield and Lawrence Maroney coming out of the backfield because I have an offense. I don't think those guys are capable of beating us. You may score 20 points. You may score 30. I'll score 40. I'm not going to let you put up the big plays and get in a track meet with Moss and Welker. I'm going to take that away. Just like Bill always says, I'll take something away,
it's what we do to
and I'll
teams.
Give you a chance to beat me with something else.
Right. Eventually,
no one fears Watson, Welker, Stanback, Edelman.
Eventually, on a 12-play drive, we're going to make a play that's going to stop it.
And I think, you know, they have an athletic, speed-based defense in New Orleans. I think they had a very good game plan. Greg Williams didn't do his, I'm just going to pressure you all night long and blitz because that's what I do. They covered, and they covered better than they needed to win.
Yeah, and the case in point for this whole discussion is what happened Monday night. Sam Aiken had a terrific game. 7 catches for 90 yards. And I think any team that defends the Patriots would say, go ahead and try to beat me with Sam Aiken. I don't think you'll be able to do it.
But that's my point. Why haven't others?
Well, no, that's, I mean, that's definitely a fair point.
Why have another set? I'm just going to double both of them. You beat me some other way.
And not only that, the Jets didn't double either one of them.
Well, there's a little different.
But that was foolish. I mean, you had one guy taking Moss out of the game. Why would you allow Welker to make as many catches as you could? Their philosophy was, if I can stop you in the red zone, you're not going to score enough points. And for to an extent, their philosophy was right. They didn't rack up the 35, 40 points that they normally do. They were down to 24 that game, if you take away the 7 they scored on defense. So I can understand what they were thinking, but you had the personnel to double Welker and didn't. You know, let Welker catch 7 or 8 balls for 80 or 90 yards, and you're probably going to be okay if you could take Moss out of the game and eliminate the big plays that he provides.
Right. See, when they had Stallworth, you know,
he would catch 3 or 4 for 80 yards.
Exactly. Big yards.
And I don't want to overstate with what he did, but I think he balanced the field for them, and he really took the attention of that other safety, where you couldn't just say, well, all we have to worry about deep here is Moss. Aiken got deep the other day. He was open.
Right.
You know, and listen, maybe if that gets hit, teams see that and they worry about it more. But I think that he's a prove-it-to-me player.
Right.
And like Andy said,
Galloway was supposed to be that guy.
Exactly. If you're looking for the number one biggest disappointment for this season, when it's all said and done offensively, it's going to be Joey Galloway, because that's what he was supposed to provide.
Yep.
And he provided nothing.
Yep. So we'll see. That said, with all the warnings that we've just thrown up there, I still think the Patriots are going to win this game. You know?
Me too.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
I don't think the team has collapsed.
They're not done.
You know? The only way they can lose this game is if they get caught with their pants down again with Pat White. If he comes in and just, you know, they're covering the pitch man when there is no pitch man,
right,
and he's running, he's hitting 60-yard runs, cutting across the grain.
I don't see it.
I don't either, because I don't think Ricky Williams will rush for 250.
I don't know what – I saw, you know, I remember Pat White came out in our game, and it was kind of the first time he really had more of an extensive role in the Wildcat. But since then, has he shown flashes? Has he done anything?
That was by far his biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was like 1-1-1, and after that, it's been.
Yeah, it wasn't really his most active as much as it was his most productive.
Right.
I mean, they didn't really unveil anything that day. And Bill repeated that, by the way, yesterday.
Right.
When asked about it, we had seen that all. But we didn't handle it well initially.
And then we
got some things straightened out. Initially, it was all with the pitch man. It was exactly what Andy said right off the go on the live play with Tully.
And then the next Tully time, yelled, "I got pitch," and there was no pitch.
And then the next time they handled it great.
Right. All right.
But the thing, if we're going to sit here and search for ways that, you know, I agree with Andy, Ricky Williams isn't going to run for 250 yards. But if we're going to go devil's advocate and search for ways that they could be in trouble, maybe Miami saw something last week with the way the secondary played against the Saints. Now, I'm not suggesting that Miami has anywhere near the capability to do that New Orleans did, but maybe they saw ways that they might be able to get Ted Ginn open or Brian Hartline open and get a cheap touchdown. I think that's a big priority for the Patriots defense this week, is to make sure you make Ricky Williams have to get 30, 35 carries in this game, and that's how the Dolphins are going to have to move the ball, because if you let Chad Henne just play pitch and catch on a deep ball, and all of a sudden there's some points on the board, that allows them to stay in the game. I don't think they can stay in the game doing it conventionally.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll have the firepower to do it. But don't give up any cheap ones.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On it right now is Chris with a TIAN. Chris, how you doing?
Hanging in there, guys. What's happening?
You seem to always call after the bad defeats.
Well, for the past couple of months, has been a bad defeat. I actually lost my father towards the end of October.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, I do call all that time. He actually went after the Tennessee game. It was the last game I saw with him. So, thank God I didn't see the past Indy and Saints game. But, yeah, it's been, wow, what a crazy year. I mean, you know, you never think it's going to go, you know, like this, and it's been tough. It seems like everything is so hard for them this year for some reason.
I agree. Nothing can be assumed.
No, and I got to hand it to you guys. You guys called it back in, I think it was even probably around the draft or minicamp. You talked about the third receiver, and you hoped that Galloway was going to be that guy.
Yeah, and they hoped too.
Yeah, and they did too, and I mean, that didn't work out. Tate went back on injury reserve.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and you're asking a guy and stand back, you know, a practice squad guy and Sam Aiken, a career special team. That's a step up to be a third wide receiver, and it's not happening.
Right.
But the defense, I mean, that was just eye-opening the other night.
Well, I think you can also look back to the offseason if you want to go back that far, and all we talked about was a pass rusher, and whether they thought they were getting Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers
Eric
or whatever.
They were getting Julius Peppers.
They didn't, and to me that was the glaring need in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Your secondary got exposed, no question, but they would be so much better if they got any kind of a consistent pass rush from anyone, and they just don't.
No, name them. Derek Burgess, Adelius Thomas. Where are they?
Yeah.
Where are these guys? These guys were freaks.
And these guys aren't being doubled and stopped.
No. Derek Burgess is getting brother-in-lawed by the right tackle every freaking play. They just dance. That's all they do is dance.
Yeah, they're not getting chipped or anything. I mean, no one's chipping on them.
No, you don't need to. Yeah. Why would you?
No, you don't have to. There's no one to worry about. And what's up with Mayo? Is it the knee? He just seems invisible.
That's what we started talking about that yesterday, because his whole thing this year was got to make big plays, got to become a playmaker, had the tackles, need to grow as a player, and he hasn't. And maybe the knee, maybe he's not recovered, I don't know, but I have to assume he's out there, he's not on the injury report, he's healthy, and he's not doing anything. He's the same as Gary Guyton. He has his five or six tackles a game, but you certainly don't remember many of them, and he's not making any plays.
No, I mean, there was that sack he had in Indy that Manning fell down and he came through clean, but I'm
Roosevelt
struggling to think of another play he made.
The only play he made was the first game back. He forced a fumble on one of his first plays, and it was like, all right, Mayo's back. He's going to do what he did.
In his defense, I've seen him make some nice stuffs up the middle, you know, clean tackles.
That's what middle linebackers
do. No, but he's done that part of it.
You're called a tackle
machine. He hasn't emerged as the next level he wanted to get to.
All the other young, you know, everybody, Mayo was the next Ray Lewis, according to Bill Polian. Well, you know who the next Ray Lewis is? Patrick Willis. And you know who's next in line? Curtis Lofton. And you know who's next in line? There's players, if you look at the top 10 defensive players in the league.
Boy, Cushing had
a lot of line. Well, he's an outside guy. I'm even trying to stick inside. Are making plays. There's a bunch of young Beeson makes plays, and Mayo hasn't shown that ability yet in a year and a half.
Yeah, and you know we keep saying, well, you know, it's the nature of the Patriots' defense and all this stuff. I can't believe that in the defensive playbook it says inside linebacker contained, inside linebacker stay home, inside linebacker set edge.
Didn't Teddy Bruschi play in that same defense?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Well, now I got all the negative stuff out of the way. Going forward, Fred, I agree with what you said yesterday. Minnesota and the Saints are in the NFC. We do have to worry about Indy. San Diego's playing great. But, you know, if you're telling me that a team like Denver or Cincinnati scares me, they just don't.
Right.
So I
like
our chances. You're going to win the division. Yeah, you're going to win the division. You're going to get a home playoff game. You could win out. You know, they do seem like they are. Hopefully, the schedule looks like they can win the rest of their games. Paul, you mentioned it yesterday. Pittsburgh looks like they're going to win the rest of their games, too, provided Roethlisberger is okay.
That's what my biggest fear would be, is getting the three or the four and facing Pittsburgh, who would either be the five or the six.
You're at Gillette, though?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
Even at Gillette?
I don't want that win, lose, or draw. Even if I win,
I feel
like I would be
done. But don't think of last year when you had Castle.
I feel like I would be done win, lose, or draw after
really?
That game. I figured the very best I could hope for is to win the game and get physically beaten up. That's the best I could hope for. Well, I know that no one scares you. I know that. You've made that abundantly clear.
The Vikings and the Saints scare me.
I happen to unfortunately respect other teams. I am scared by Pittsburgh. I am scared by San Diego. And I am scared by Indianapolis. They've won games.
Right.
And they've won games away from home.
But you don't think the Patriots have a good shot at beating them?
No.
Especially if it's at home?
Good shot? No.
I think they could beat them. I think they could beat any of those teams, including Minnesota and New Orleans. Could beat them. Do I bet on average? No, I don't.
Not right now.
That might change in a month and a half.
Right.
And that's when we have to worry about it.
And look, if the Patriots are going to meet Pittsburgh at home, that means they probably did win out. You know?
No. All they have to do is win the division and they play at home.
Well, that's true. But, yeah.
They could lose out and win the division,
for
God's sakes.
That's true. But I'm assuming that the Patriots...
probably possible.
Give
me that look.
7-9 would win the division?
Well, you know what he's saying.
You lose to Miami,
you lose to the
Bills.
I think 8-8 could definitely win the division. I think the Jets and the Dolphins are going to be hard-pressed to finish over .500.
So, Yeah. All right, Chris.
All right. Don't I want to say thanks. And, you know, you guys, you know, all the podcasts and everything got me through a lot. So 2 hours a day, you are always a great escape. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, sorry for your
thank
loss.
Thank you for
Chris.
Listening.
Thanks, Christian.
Guys.
All right.
Yeah,
man.
Okay.
Chris with a TIAN. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member of PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Something that's been kind of bothering me, you know, this not
ants?
Being able to win on the road in a hostile environment is something that is, you know, a monkey that they need to get off their back, obviously. Going back to that Jets game with the whiteboard, you know, trying to combat the crowd noise and all this stuff, that was a failure. It seemed like in this New Orleans game that there was some problems with communication on defense, but also obviously on offense. I remember the one play where Brady was trying to get Watson to the line, and I said to myself, well, here comes a flag. A
couple plays with Watson.
You know, and so the point I'm trying to make, or the topic I'm trying to bring up, is this team not able to deal with crowd noise on offense? Is it really affecting them more than it should be? You know, they say it doesn't, you know, because to say it does just incites the away crowd even more. But Do you think it really is affecting them that that Brady is just so off the page with these other options that the crowd noise is a big factor?
It has affected them. I don't know that I want to say it is an issue that needs to be fixed. I mean, he's had at least 5 delay games this year.
Yep.
Off the top of my head. So, yeah, that's an issue. You don't normally assume it. One was here where he was basically in a fight with the official as to what the clock said and didn't say. I was looking right at it. He was yelling at the guy.
But for the same reason he had to wait till the very last second there is compounded when you're dealing also with crowd noise.
And the Jets was a unique situation because I agree with you. I don't think it was as much crowd noise as they changed everything they did. They lost that battle before the battle began.
Yeah.
That was a different scenario altogether. And this last week, it was Watson. I mean, it wasn't a new guy.
Right.
It wasn't.
That's the part I don't get. Is
I could see it if it was
the Jets
if it
game. It was Edelman that was filling in, and it was totally
completely understandable. Right. Right.
You know, lately, and I don't understand what the difference between home and road would have to do with that. But lately, we've seen a little of that, where guys aren't where they're supposed to be. I saw Moss really, really upset about it. I think it might have been an Indy. And now this past week we saw Watson. I saw the same thing that you're talking about, Freddie. And Andy and I talked about it when it was happening. He just wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Right.
And that shouldn't have anything to do with home and away.
Yeah.
There's not adjustments that are being made as they break the huddle. He's coming out of the huddle. He's going to the wrong side. It happened twice.
And he's not on the line when he's supposed to be on the line.
You know, and that's, again, that's not any audible that Tom is doing at the line that adjusts where they're lining up with a formation. They're just not where they're supposed to be, and I wonder why that is. I don't know if that has to do with the coaching, you know, that people have talked about with Bill O'Brien being a new guy, and you know, if there's something lost in translation. I don't think that's it. I just think it's on the players. I think it's at all part of execution to me. But you're right, Fred. I think that your point is definitely a valid one. It hasn't been smooth. It hasn't looked normal. When they've been on the road, it hasn't looked the same.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I don't blame the coach.
I don't know what it is. I'm just throwing everything out.
The playbook says when they call this play in this formation, I'm Ben Watson. I'm to line up on the line, not off it. Bill O'Brien is not doing or not doing anything that keeps Watson from fulfilling what is essentially a card.
Yeah.
What is on the card that
you
do in this
formation?
I mean,
you look at Denver, you know, the offense was discombobulated. Obviously, the Jets game, they were discombobulated. The Colts game now, that's a whole different story. You know, they seem to be able to.
They were combobulated.
Yeah, they did pretty well until the end there when
the
pressure
was on. The other three losses, the Jets, Denver, and New Orleans, didn't look right.
No.
Right. They looked fine in Indy, but they just made some mistakes.
I also think the other teams were playing good football. All three cases, even whatever you think of the Jets now and the Broncos now, they were playing good football then.
Oh,
they
were
riding high.
No question.
And I think both of them have enough talent so they can maybe do some things to you that make you uncomfortable. I don't think it's just, oh, my God, we're on the road and the Patriots pooped themselves and wouldn't beat anybody. Like, do you think they would have lost to Tennessee
totally
on the road
agree.
Or do they would have lost to Tampa on the road?
No, and
no.
That's circumstantial. But I'll tell you this, they may have lost to Atlanta on the road and they may have lost to Baltimore on the road.
Maybe.
May have. I'm
but
not
they were also
they
both
have.
Playing well. I just don't think they pooped themselves and it's totally a road thing.
Yeah.
I think some of it is circumstantial. Who the team is that you're playing on the road and at home.
It could be.
It's just, how they're playing on the road
and
at home.
The thing that makes it stand out at this point, Andy, is it's been everyone. And if they were 2-2 in those four games, I'd say, well, you know, but they play tough teams on the road. But they've lost every one of them. And every second half hasn't really looked that good. You know? And that's why you're wondering, is it more than just circumstantial? I agree with you. The good teams that they played happen to be on the road for the most part.
Right.
I think maybe Baltimore falls into the good team that they played at home.
Right.
That they were playing reasonably well at the time, and you know, they have some talent. And the Patriots won. By the way, when the guy dropped the ball at the 7-yard line.
That's not to say they wouldn't have won anything.
Anyway. But it was 7 yards away from going the other way, is my point, Fred. Yeah. No, they weren't 7 yards away from going the other way?
Yeah. Plus, they might not have had the same officiating crew if it was in Baltimore, and then Brady couldn't have called for penalties.
Well, even with that, I you know, they were 7 yards away from losing.
All right. Hey, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on the phone right now is who? John in Dallas. John, how you doing?
Guys, I'm doing okay today.
Great.
I'm doing a lot better after Sunday's win in Miami.
Yep.
Which will be technically our first road win of the season.
Yep.
Right? I don't count the Tampa one.
You shouldn't.
No. So So, you know, it was interesting. It was I called in yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys. So I stayed on the line and I talked to John Rook. You know.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's not a bad consolation prize.
So you went inside the playbook?
Yeah, he talks a little too much for me, but he's a good guy.
Lubricants. He is a good guy.
Yeah. He does do a show by himself.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Eric was there.
He does
funny,
do a show by himself.
You look on both sides of the ball, there's a lot more. Well, there's issues everywhere. I mean, you can talk about the lack of pass rush. You can talk about the play of the secondary. You can talk about the lack of a true third wide receiver and maybe even a true fourth wide receiver. You know, I think one of the... I mean, if you want to, I guess, look back, I think one of the things that the Patriots should have done is they should have signed Jabari Gaffney. You know, I know he's not Randy Moss or Wes Welker, but he's a good third
He'd help.
Option.
He
better
would help
than Sam Aiken. I was a big anti-Gaffney guy, and I'd certainly take him over what they have right now.
He's without question, he'd be light years ahead of whatever they have now.
Well, he's a true wide receiver. I mean, you're looking at, you know, two college quarterbacks converted into wide receivers, a special teams guy who's
right.
A wide
you're right.
Receiver.
And the other issue is, he got a little bit of money to go to Denver, but
not a ton.
If you're
going
to have Sean Springs making money and not playing, I'd just assume have paid the money to Jabari Gaffney and have him play.
Yeah,
we were only $500K off that, from what I've seen. So I think we offered him $2 million and Denver did 2.5 or something like that.
I didn't even realize we offered him anything.
I didn't think we had either.
Well, that's what I read.
Didn't he sign immediately?
Pretty quickly, and it was a $3 million bonus, right, on a $10 million deal.
But that, you know, that to me, that's one of the big off-season. Well, there's a lot of off-season blunders, but that's one of the big ones.
Yeah, yep. And Andy's right, and I would fall in with Andy's line of thinking. At the time, I didn't think it was a huge mistake, but in retrospect, it's been an error.
Yeah,
you know, but that's what they get paid for. You know, they're supposed to. You know, the Joey Galloway thing.
Right.
I can look, and I can sit there and say that was a good move. I could see where they were going. Yeah,
right.
I agreed with the move.
We all thought it was a good
but
move,
but it's their move. It's a little bit more.
It's funny with Galloway because even in training camp, we were like, "Wow,
he had a terrible training
balls
camp.
Are bouncing off his chest."
Well, that wasn't my problem as much as it didn't seem like he was where he was supposed to be.
But to me, it didn't seem like he had the hand-eye coordination.
I didn't think anything. Yeah. I didn't think anything looked good from Galloway in training camp, other than the fact that I still thought he could run, and I kept. I kept saying that to Andy.
But even that I didn't think was as – everybody kept telling me he was the fastest guy they'd ever seen on the planet, and I didn't see that out there. I saw a guy who got behind people, but he didn't wow me.
Yeah. But I just figured –
Shea Jackson, right?
Yeah, I just figured, okay, he's going to go vertical. He'll get behind guys. Brady will hit him for, you know, once a game, and that's all we need. But he couldn't even get on the field.
I thought that he was going to give you a advanced version of Stallworth. I thought he was going to balance the other side of the field – catch 45 or 50 balls for around 800, 900 yards, maybe 5 or 6 touchdowns. That's what I thought you were going to get out of him before I saw
now,
him play.
By the way?
Nowhere,
not
is
at
it?
Work right now.
Yep.
Nowhere.
I think that's telling.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was right here. It was a perfect storm, and he just couldn't learn this system, and no one else wants him.
Yeah.
In a league where they always need receivers, no one else wants him.
And no one else wanted him, apparently. So where do we go wrong in our evaluation of him?
Well, it's you know what's interesting is the reason I bring it up is, I mean, you can probably point to, you know, a dozen off-season moves that probably should have went in different directions. The reason why I bring it up is because I think John Rook brought up actually an interesting concept yesterday, which was Bill Belichick the coach versus Bill Belichick the GM, right?
Right.
So does it cloud? Does having both of those responsibilities cloud his judgment on either side?
You mean too much confidence in the coach, or what do you mean exactly?
Well, if he's making personnel moves that Scott Pioli made prior, right?
Well, I don't think Scott Pioli made any moves.
Yeah, I don't.
I think Bill Belichick has always been the decision maker as a coach and has always been the top decision maker in personnel.
Now, did Pioli not do anything? No, Pioli
no,
was involved, and I think that he was there to help, and I think Bill probably misses that.
Sure.
He had a guy that he trusted his eye.
Sure.
You know, with Pioli. But I don't think that Bill – I don't think Scott was making all the personnel moves then. I think Bill is making the same amount of personnel moves today as he was making for the last 5 years.
I agree.
The difference is maybe he doesn't have the trust value, the factor with Caserio and the staff.
Well,
that gets
back to Bill's time.
Right.
You know, is he?
That's
just
why I think it is
thin.
An issue. I think John's right. I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is worth discussing as an issue. But I think Andy's got it that Bill was always the guy who pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Always.
And it's a lot of the same guys writing up the reports. So I think that's a bit of an escape for him. I think the bottom line is he's made bad decisions.
Yeah, the scouts. Yes. The
absolutely. It's on. It's
guy.
On Bill. It's the same basic people. It's just a different guy in Nick Caserio organizing that whole crew. But the system is the same. You know, they didn't change anything they did in the system. The files look the same, the reports look the same, and the same people are writing them. It's just when he analyzes them, he's not making the right decision.
Well, that conflict of interest, or if it is that, seems to be more apparent this year than years prior.
Because he made bad decisions.
Well, the other thing I would add to this is that this has been, in my opinion, and Fred, don't yell at me for this, but I think it's been kind of a steady, gradual decline in the overall talent level with his team. You know, I think that they loaded up in 07. But I think if you go from 04, I think they steadily declined in 05 and 06. They hit the jackpot with two amazing trades for Moss and Welker in 07, which allowed them to do historic things. But then it continued a little bit with that draft and then in 08. And I think they had a pretty good draft in 09. I think they did all right this past spring. But I think the drafts haven't been great and the free agent signings haven't been great for the last 4 or 5 years now, for the most part. I'm not saying I don't need to have like, oh, what about Brandon McGowan? Or, you know, what about Gerard Mayo? I know they've made some good picks and some good signings, but I think as a whole,
well,
they haven't done as well in the last 5 years as they did in the previous 5 years.
They haven't really upgraded.
They've lost a lot of veterans that they haven't replaced yet.
Right, right.
You know,
they haven't developed
Harrison,
stars. They didn't develop an Asante Samuel to go after him. They didn't develop
Harrison,
Brandon Merriweather.
Seymour, Vrabel,
despite what everybody tells you, is not the
Galloway,
star he's supposed to be.
We don't
Asante Samuel.
We don't know about the guys that are replacing them yet. Right now we have Merriweather. I mean, we pretty much know about Mayo, that he's a pretty good player.
Sure.
Okay? But we don't know what Myron Pryor and Ron Brace are going to do up front. If they're going to be Mike Wright or they're going to be Richard Seymour or somewhere in between. We don't know. Brandon Merriweather might be Rodney Harrison. Right now he's not.
Right.
You know, we don't know what Jonathan Wilhight and Darius Butler are going to be. Maybe they'll be Asante Samuel and Ty Law. Right now they're not.
We don't
Lawrence
know
Cerrone.
Brandon Tate.
We don't know what he's going to be.
Yeah. Well, they do.
You know, but that's, I mean, you can see what they're trying to do, but we'll see if it ends up happening. They lost a lot of veteran players off of those championship teams that have been replaced, but not to that level yet. Now maybe we'll get there. I don't know.
Teddy Bruschi, Arizona.
He's
Scalavino brought it up on the Rook Show yesterday about the decline of the dynasty.
He's suicidal.
Well, no,
he's
thinks
suicidal.
The dynasty ended.
He thinks it's over.
No, he's a spurn lover.
He is. I think Fred nailed that one yesterday.
Yeah. Will you guys shut up, for Christ's sake?
Well, didn't you guys just say it yourself? All dynasties kind of rise and fall, and this is the...
Well, I don't think it's over. I don't think the Patriots
think
are
over.
Done, though. I think as long as Belichick and Brady are here, they're always going to be relevant.
I agree.
You know, I did this because someone really beat me up on an Ask PFW. Guy thinks that we should fire Belichick. John, do you think we should fire Belichick, by the way, before
Absolutely
I offend
not.
You? Okay.
Absolutely not.
Well, I kind of called the guy out for that because I was talking to Fred about this beforehand. Every time the Patriots lose a game, we get 3 or 4 emails that are viciously attacking Belichick and saying that he should be fired. And I usually just delete them because I know that people are emotional and they're upset. But I just got really tired of it this time, so I put it out there, and I kind of embarrassed the guy, and he got all mad and he ripped me. He said, I'm living in the past. They haven't won anything since 04, and you're relying on him to do things that he did 5 and 6 years ago. And I, just off the top of my head, the last 30 games that Belichick has coached with Tom Brady as his quarterback, you know what their record is?
What?
25-5.
Right.
Am I living in the past?
Right.
The last 30 games that Belichick and Brady have been together on the field, they're 25-5.
Right.
I don't think I'm living in the past.
Right.
I don't think so either, but I would say I do not think Belichick should ever be fired. But what I do think is Belichick needs help. He needs competent help.
I mean, look at the Eagles. It took Andy Reid's sons to both be put in jail for fans to even question whether his mind was in it. But because he's makes that team competitive year in and year out, he'll always have a job there. That's all you can really ask for in this league that is so set on parity and pulling teams from the top back to the middle. If you're constantly in the playoffs, constantly, you know, giving your team
relevant,
a shot.
Constantly relevant in the postseason conversation.
That's what you're looking for.
You know what's a fun little game to do? In the Belichick era, since 2001 when they've won Super Bowls, go back and flip through year by year the playoffs and just look at teams that were competing with the Patriots every year for titles and think of some of those teams. You know who some of those teams are? They're teams that have...
Tennessee.
Tennessee, which has ridden a roller coaster between best team in football, worst team in... Kansas City,
Right.
Yeah. People forget that Kansas City was like a 13-win team.
Right.
A 13-win team back
then.
And
they could run the ball.
Now they're a laughing stock.
Well, look at even Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is consistently good.
Pittsburgh in Indiana.
They win the Super Bowl. Next year they don't make the playoffs. Right. They won the Super Bowl last year. This year they may not make the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're still consistently
but they're
relevant.
Still consistent.
Yeah. My point is some teams have gone like major organizational overhauls where you're picking in the top three in the same time span. The Patriots have been good.
Kansas City and Tennessee are what Andy's talking about. Those kinds of teams.
How about the Raiders? The Raiders were the Snow Bowl. The Raiders went to the
following Super Bowl. To me, that's a whole different argument.
But just listen. The Raiders, in the same time you've been good the whole time, they've gone from the top of the football mountain to the laughingstock.
And they can't get out of it.
Right.
You know?
It feels like they've stunk forever, but when you started being good, they were good.
Right.
It's amazing when you think about it that way. Kansas City in 03 was as good as anybody in football.
Right.
And now they can't win a game.
Yep.
You know what's interesting about that conversation, too, is that what makes it even more fascinating for the Patriots is that given all the personnel changes and the changes in the front office and coaching staff and all that, they've still been able to maintain a very high level of success.
Which is what we get back to. As long as they
That's
have
huge.
Bill and Tom, they'll be competitive.
But I do think, what do your guys take? Do you guys
think
Bill needs help?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean...
Where? How? Specifics? I mean, do you want an offensive coordinator?
Well,
he has an offensive coordinator. His name's Bill O'Brien.
Well, he doesn't have the title.
He doesn't, but neither did Josh McDaniels, and everybody wants him back.
Okay. What about true GM?
I don't think he's never had a true GM.
I don't think
he's
they
the
need
GM.
That because I think Bill's
Do you really want
GM.
A guy that has,
it's
say, over
happen.
Bill Belichick?
It's not going to happen.
They don't want that.
They can't have that because Bill will leave.
Yeah, I would venture it's in his contract.
I mean,
but
if Robert said, I hired
sure.
this guy, he's your boss, Bill would say, no, he's not, I quit. Here's a napkin. It says, I resign as the HC of the NEP.
So what do then? You just bring consultants like Floyd Reese then?
No,
yeah,
I think Bill.
Yeah, that's what he's
You
done.
Put your trust in Bill that he's going
to
do it.
Right. If nothing else, Bill Belichick will tell himself, I need to do
a
better
job. Just like when he said, my wide receivers suck, I'm going to go get Welker and Moss.
Exactly.
He might say, my defensive coordinator, my offensive coordinator, my tight ends coach, somebody sucks, I'm going to go get another
one. He's not one to bang his head against the wall and keep doing the same thing.
I have
thing
enough faith that he will fix
over.
The problem that he sees. And I think he'll probably see the problem.
Okay.
You know, every year... He tries to revamp that defensive secondary. It hasn't worked the last few years.
That might be his Achilles.
But he knows it's a problem.
But it might be working this year. It's growing pains. And we all talked about they're going to be better as they go.
Right.
And you know what? All right.
I built false hope.
They had their pants pulled down a little bit Monday night, but it hasn't been a disaster.
No.
But that secondary has played better as a whole.
You need
for
that
the
veteran, and Sean Springs isn't it. You need that veteran presence back there that kind of calms things down.
You're right.
You're
right. That's a good point. You know? They could use a guy like him to just kind of keep things together. And I would say,
Jim Sanders.
To counteract the thing I just said, we had an email, I think today, someone pointed out the games that they've only played, I think, four quarterbacks that are in the top 20 in passer rating all year, and they lost to three of them.
Yeah.
So they might be putting up some plastic numbers as well.
True.
In terms of who they've seen and who
you
they
think.
Brandon Merriweather. Look at running back. He will, if with one of these first round picks, there's a guy that they really like at running, they're going to take him because he knows it's a problem. He knows, it'd be great to have a
draft. The draft is the one place where I have my doubts about him.
Well, I don't.
Not his ability to draft, but I think sometimes he fixates on certain things to a fault.
Well, I think
like the 4-6-6-4.
That 6-4-4-6.
Well, the whole value
thing
with them is they're sticklers.
Well, Gerard Mayo.
I'll
give you that. Is Gerard Mayo that much better than David Harris, who was taken 36, and Gerard Mayo was 10th?
Right.
Is that good value, or is Patrick Willis good value because he has two interceptions, two forced fumbles?
I think if you pick good players, I don't care where they're selected. Pick good players. So don't fixate on trading down.
But I think they do.
They fixate on trading down.
That's
why
I
just
said I don't always trust him in the draft.
And that's the one thing that a lot of the criticisms that we've gotten in the Ask PFW is I've sort of sided with the guys criticizing is I would like to see them. They're all talking about next year already because they're all given. They're all like Eric. You know, they don't even want to watch the rest of the season.
They wear sweaters.
Yeah. Burgundy would be next. Yeah. But I just think that they need to sort of stop fixating on the value thing. The value thing really annoys me. The salary cap has gone up exponentially each of the last 3 years. The cap is not cost prohibitive anymore.
But it's
now,
not
maybe
just
it,
the cap.
Maybe it will be going forward someday. But right,
it,
the
it's
lately
everything
it
with
hasn't
him.
Been.
It's not even the cap, I don't think.
Yeah,
I think
it's like if there was no cap, he doesn't want to pay you $3 million if he thinks you're a $2 million
player. And if he were in the desert and some guy said, I have water, but it's not a dollar a gallon, it's two a gallon, he'd say, ooh, I'm not going to take it.
I'm not going to get it. It's only
I'll,
worth
I'll die of thirst out here in the desert because it's not worth it. That's how I feel like with him. It's a mental, economic challenge to him. He's like Chris Ferreira, our webmaster.
Everything's a challenge. Oh,
if
sorry.
It's cheap, he'll take it. But if it's expensive, he won't, even if he really wants it and needs it. And, John, I didn't mean to jump down your throat, by the way, on the spread too thin, because I think he is. I think he needs help, but I don't know
what the help
is. I have to
is.
Put my trust in him to know where he needs that help.
That whole economics discussion is an interesting one, though, because if that's going through his head constantly, isn't that something that a GM typically wrangles with?
Well, I think that's where
Floyd Reese
comes
is here.
I think
right.
he's
and,
the yeah. money contract.
In the economics, that's Bill's forte.
Right.
That's, I mean, he was, you got to give that to him. I mean, yeah. he was a forerunner in understanding and learning how to handle the cap.
I just think sometimes you try to buy on the cheap, you end up with cheap.
Right. I think the numbers have grown so big now, I don't think it's as important to make sure that you don't give a guy
right.
$3 million when he's only worth $2 million. Now, sure, don't give a guy $12 million if he's only worth $6 million. Right. But when we're dealing with Jabari Gaffney, I think, John, you brought him up at the top of your call. I mean, if that's all it was a half $1 million or $1 million, you gotta bite the bullet.
I think at this point they'd give him that.
I think they give him $5 million.
You know what, Bill is? You know how they always tell you if you buy Sony, you're paying 10% for the name. Well, that may be true, but I always know the Sony works pretty good. It's always a pretty good product.
Cadillac
Bill
TVs.
Would never buy the Sony because he's thinking I can 10% less. I can get the JVC or something else, and sometimes that poops the bed, and you're stuck with crap. Buy the Sony.
I never said
what
that.
What about Sony?
All right, John.
Dave, guys, thanks for the call.
That was great. You gave us a lot to chew on.
John in Dallas.
That was a great call.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Why?
No, anything.
Because we brought this up yesterday on Playbook.
We? You brought something up?
Did you go inside the Playbook?
I'm always inside the Playbook.
There's enough room for all three of you
Maybe
in the
Benjamin Watson should get inside the Playbook.
Does it bother you at all that for the past 2 years, we've beat the teams that we're supposed to beat, but we haven't beat an elite team since 2007.
Well, that's because you're not an elite team. That's the definition of elite team.
Well, the problem
a good
is last
team
year,
beats the teams
to...
they're supposed to.
Yeah.
An elite team beats the teams they're supposed to and then beats some of the teams that they're right. elite with. The toss-up games, they win some of those.
And right. the point that we conceded yesterday was you got everything you could have gotten out of last season. I mean, Brady went down, Castle took them to 11-5,
sure.
and they were just shy of the playoffs. But the fact that we haven't beaten the Indianapolis's since 07 when nobody was touching the Patriots.
Because I mean, they're elite and we're not.
Right. It kind of shows you where we're going.
I think the interesting thing is everybody said they were not elite last year because Brady went down, and now 11 games into the season, you're about at the exact same point you were with Castle. Now, I think there's different schedules, whatever, but you're still looking to need to win out to be where you want to be.
Yeah.
Just like Castle had to win out for them to have a chance. They
right.
won the four games, and they didn't end up getting in. But
right.
there's not that much of a difference between last season and this season.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Adam in Huntersville, North Carolina says, I've heard so much complaining about the defense and how they're not as good as the past couple years. If I'm not mistaken, in 06, the Chargers lit up the defense. In 07, the Giants stuck 35 to them. How about Halloween in 04? Steelers put 38 up, I think, and killed our 21-game winning streak. I'm not jumping ship. I still expect at the least to have an AFC championship appearance.
Wow.
So
the only thing I would say to defend us on that is I don't think anybody here anyway would suggest that this defense isn't better than last year's.
No,
last year's defense.
And he didn't really either.
Was abysmal.
He excluded that from the comparison.
The defense
but
this year.
Four?
This year, the question would be the one that Doc just brought up. What do they do against good teams? And I just looked back real quick, and I didn't do a lot of research on it. But at 05, I think 07, we can all agree. They beat anybody. They beat good, bad, and indifferent in 07. They were 18-1. But in 05 and 06, the other two post-Super Bowl years, they beat very few, quote-unquote, good teams those years either. They had a good win in Pittsburgh early in 05, the game that Matt Light got hurt. I think Rodney may have gotten hurt in that game too. And in 06, they beat Chicago here. Chicago went to the Super Bowl that year. I think they only had one loss coming into that game. That was a very good team.
Didn't Grossman crap himself?
Oh, they turned the ball over five times.
Samuel had two or three picks.
Yeah, it was
one in the end zone.
It was actually
a terrible one.
The Patriots turned the ball over about four or five times in that game too. It was a very sloppy game, 17-13. But that was a good team. I think they only had one loss. They went to the Super Bowl, but they lost to Indy in both of those years. You know, they lost some games there that probably they were accustomed to winning. You know, back in their championship years. And they certainly haven't beaten a very good team the last 2 years.
But that's my point. You say back in the championship years. For most teams, when you say back in the championship years, it means you're in the crap years. It means you have, like, three wins. Here, when you're talking about back in the championship years, you're in the competitive and who knows what happens kind of years.
You know, I don't want to go off on a tangent and get Fred mad at me, but this is why I don't like when we judge everything by winning titles. Peyton Manning sucked until 06.
Right.
John Elway sucked until 98. That's why I don't do that. That's why Dan Marino, to me, is still a Hall of Fame quarterback. Because it's so hard to win a championship.
But right. Not even the winning the championship.
It's hard to win
so
games.
Many factors.
People
There's
so
here
many different
fixate
factors.
On the 5 years.
It's hard just to win
I
games.
I get back to
exactly.
It again. You won 3 in 4 years. Would you rather they had been spread out in 9? What's the difference? You won 3 titles. Would you feel better because it took 9 years to win 3 instead of 4?
With the 2001 team, 2001, 2003, and 2004, they were great teams, okay? But were they that much better than 05, 06, and 07?
No.
It's so circumstantial. How you win it all.
And as Bill Parcells said,
you
Bill
just
Bell,
want a chance.
You just want a chance to
right.
get in the tournament.
And
that's all you
chance.
Want. You know?
And I'm not trying to make excuses for, you know, for losses in big games or whatever. I'm just trying to point out. Yeah. That's why I don't think you could just blanket statement. Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time. Why? Because he won 4 Super Bowls. Well, if you think he's the best quarterback, there's certainly a lot of things that back up that feeling. That's not the only reason
right.
he's the best quarterback of all time, if you think that.
But when you delve into it, he has some impressive
But that,
crap.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm using that
the
as...
numbers.
Yeah. Terry Bradshaw has 4-2.
No, but it's not...
He's
when
never
you start
lost
digging
a playoff
for him,
game
it's not
or
impressive.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean...
But his rating in the Super Bowls were all like 100 and above.
He was always dead solid perfect. He's
tremendous.
You know, he has no picks in Super Bowls?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah
he's dead solid perfect in the Super Bowl, which is really, really difficult to ignore. But I'll also say, how many road playoff games did he win?
Right. They never had to.
Well, when they went on the road, they got killed. Yeah. The Giants killed him every year at the Meadowlands. 49-3 once.
Just something that popped in from my yesterday when we were talking about if you take away the 8 plays for 300 yards, it wasn't that bad of a performance. I was in the shower, and I'm thinking, well, if you take away 3 field goals, you don't have any Super Bowl titles. So if you want to start taking plays away.
Breaking news from strippers. Dick Enberg is leaving CBS after the NFL season to become the play-by-play man for the San Diego Padres.
Really?
I
really thought that
me?
Sentence was going a different direction.
For retirement?
Nope.
Well, that kind of is retirement.
One step further than retirement.
Oh,
breaking news, Dick Enberg, dead.
Oh,
that's not nice.
Good First news from Daytona, Dale Earnhardt.
Right. San Diego Padres.
That's crazy for a guy at his age to increase his workload.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Proves.
That's crazy.
A lot of people still love baseball more than football, Paul.
Well, I'm not even arguing. I don't even want the Fred grenade to go off, but 162 games as opposed to 16. What's
yeah.
he thinking?
Yeah.
17.
Maybe
whatever.
It's just
home
the Sox. Let's talk some football.
81? That's not that
yeah,
much better.
And
just
every,
around the ballpark.
Every flipping single night.
Yeah.
As much as I like baseball, Fred, there's not enough money in this world that you could pay me to cover the Red Sox. Not enough money.
What about those idiots who go to every game?
Oh, Dennis Drinkwater?
Yes. I need to call him.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is James, who was nice enough to purchase lunch for us today.
James,
thanks, guys. How's it going?
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very
thank
much,
you very
James.
Much. It was the best calzone of the year because it was today's calzone.
Which one's the best one?
Today's.
The next one.
Well, everyone seems to be a little bit knee-jerk reacting to the Saints that it's an end of an era and things like that.
No, just Eric.
That's just Eric, and he's a jerk.
Just Eric. That's why we banned him from the first hour of the show.
And he's on his knees a lot.
Lubricants. Lubricants.
So over the top.
I do think it's a little bit, I'm sure Bill, I think we can all look at some of the some of the transactions that were done in the off-season at the beginning of the year. But I do think it's a little bit premature to judge Belichick until the end of the season because they still might, have a good run and things like that. So I think we hurry up and wait till the end of the year before we start casting dispersions on his decisions and things like that.
Well, yes, you're right. But, I mean,
He blew the Joey Galloway. That's not improving. That will never improve.
Yeah.
I don't care if Julian Edelman catches 85 passes next game. Right. Joey Galloway, he blew that call.
There are certain deficiencies now that can be directly tied to personnel decisions. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
I would say, how many people at the time said it was a big mistake?
Oh, no one.
But yeah, so, I mean, if he, you know, 31 other him GM. To make, no, and I think we judge everything. I don't think we can expect a Welker and a Moss every year. I mean, that was a little bit of a freakish year. And admittedly, there were some mistakes. But hopefully, I mean, trading down in the draft, and I agree with that. I think we've done enough of that. And going forward, I do think we do have to sort of try and take some talent and things like that going forward.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to just go pick the best guy there and just let's just get him.
But you mentioned Wes Welker and Randy Moss. We're not holding him to that standard. I'm holding him to the standard of, could Joey Galloway still be on the team and lining up every Sunday? I mean, they cut the guy, what is it, week four, week three, into the season. I mean, that was an utter
more or less
embarrassment of a
sign. You signed Galloway. You traded for Alex Smith. You cut him.
Right.
Traded for Greg Lewis.
You cut him. You signed Sean Springs. He can't get on the field. I mean, these are kind of major positions that they needed help at.
Right.
You know?
And they didn't have to be Moss and Welker. Sean Springs could be the third corner playing some. He's inactive. That's a far measure from Moss and Welker.
Inactive with a slew of first and second year guys that are playing.
Right.
Butler, Wheatley, Wilhite. You know, it's not like, you know, he's inactive and they have Tyrone Poole and Otis Smith playing who have been around.
Well, I mean, going forward, do you see a lot of, I mean, do you see them doing?
James?
I think they're doing.
We're losing you.
We're losing you.
Your Skype is in and out.
Yeah, how's that?
That's better.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, do you think, I mean, going forward, do you think they're going to be in the next, I mean, the next five games, I don't think they're going to tell us too much unless they really suck and then we know it's going downhill. I mean, if they do what they're expected to do, it's going to be difficult to gauge until the playoffs, you know, how much progress they made and things like that. And I do think the Saints they just played really, really badly. And I'd say even the 07 Pats firing on all cylinders would have been a close game with that Saints team then. So, I'm inclined to say it was just a one-off game.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I agree with you that it was throw it out. It was the perfect storm of negative for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the 07 team, given
it matched
a
them.
Stop for a field goal, given a 7-3 lead, given a turnover, I think the 07 team would have been well on their way to Mike Vrabel pinning back his ears, going after Breeze, and it could have snowballed the other direction.
And even if you didn't come up with those same stops early, I think you would have matched them all game long, and then whoever had the ball last probably would have won.
Yeah,
because I don't think that 07 offense would have gotten shut down like that.
I'm saying the 07 offense would have been more it would have been a close game, and I think that says a lot about the Saints.
Yeah, because there were a couple teams in 07, the Eagles, the Ravens, that
defensively
kind of had an answer for the Patriots.
San Diego in that playoff game, as we mentioned, there was some tight games.
Yeah.
And some teams moved the ball on him as well.
And I'm not sold on McKenzie and that back. I don't know whether that was a one-match wonder. I don't think there's a million guys on the street he can pick up, and he's interested to see whether he does. Pan out, and he did look great against us, but I don't know whether that's going to be, you know, going to be throughout the season for the rest of the season. But we'll see.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the pressure actually is going to mount on the Saints because they're 11-0, and you know they're getting closer to that perfect season. And as we know now from talking to Patriots that lived through 07, they did feel it.
And
there was a lot of pressure.
Talking to Patriots who had been a team for a long time, who had been winning for a long time, who had been championship tested. That's not the M.O. of these Saints. If those guys, Brewski, Vrabel, and all these guys could fall to pressure or feel the pressure, and how do you think it's going to affect this Saints team?
So we'll see.
I mean, who are the leaders on that team? You have Darren Sharper clearly on defense.
Right.
You have Drew Brees clearly on offense. But beyond that, you have a lot of guys that are guys.
I mean, by the time they get to the playoffs, they could be emotional wreck. You don't know, you know?
Yeah, and I would say that's sort of a double-edged sword as well, because if people start thinking now the Patriots aren't, you know, start discounting them and thinking they're not really a threat and things like that, even better. I mean, it's nice to now fly under the radar, not have a big target on your back, and for people to sort of, you know, in the playoffs think, oh, we've got the Patriots, that's not going to be too much of a tough one. Now, if other teams aren't thinking that, then maybe we shouldn't be thinking that it's all that bad either.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think other teams will look past the Patriots.
No,
I think.
And I don't think this. You know, I don't think what the Saints did on defense is going to be a carbon copy, and you know, anyone can do that, and things are going to be fine going forward. I mean, I do think we're lacking at a third receiver, but I do think, you know, Maroney had a good game, and if they do, you know, if they do double team Moss and Welker, hopefully the running game can sort of get going. But, you know, putting our hopes on Lawrence Maroney may not be the best thing.
Well said.
Yeah, well, that's about it, guys. It'd be interesting to see what they do in the off season as well. Whether they do make a big, you know, whether they do shift and try and make, you know, make some moves to get some big players on defense and things like that. And as you said, time with Moss is running out, so. You know, although it's not an end of an era or a dynasty, and I certainly don't think we should be, you know, worrying about Belichick and things like that. I think we do need to sort of shift personnel-wise, moving to the future, and maybe get something in return for Moss, or start pushing towards making some big moves for the defense.
All right, James.
All right, guys. Take it
Thank
easy.
You.
Thanks again,
Thanks
James.
For
Thanks for the calzone.
All right. That's James from, where's he from? England somewhere.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's also a Stevie
That's a
H.
Northern New Hampshire accent.
That's Stevie H.
I know. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Hey, Fred, you got the alcohol app?
543-7482. I don't. Why? What does that do?
You should probably get that.
What does it do?
I think you can get your blood alcohol.
What, by blowing testing. Into your iPhone?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, we were going to go
certainly know you can't
I
use yours to make phone calls.
There has to be an adapter.
You certainly can't use yours to make phone calls.
There has to be an adapter that you must, you know, put in it or something.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And it wouldn't work, just like nothing else works.
What are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fred, I want some ice cream. Here's a brick wall. They serve ice cream.
50 million people can't be wrong.
Yeah, they can.
No, but
you have a hearer of Twitter?
What's wrong with Twitter?
It's stupid.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It's dying a pretty good death right now.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you were up on the tech news, Paul.
No, only when people make fun of it.
Are you? They've stopped growing. Users are down.
Users are flat. It's not down.
Down.
Henry from...
By at least one.
I'll take that as a victory.
The Patriots usership keeps going up.
It's up to what, 17?
No, it's over 30,000.
So you're almost to half your season ticket holders care.
How many billion Patriots fans around the world? We got 30,000 on Twitter.
Henry from Whitefish, Montana. This Patriots team for the last decade has been so good, it's almost impossible to remember seeing them play a team that actually looked better. The Indianapolis game this year, the Pats lost a gut-wrenching game, but they looked like a better team. So many times over the last 8 or 9 years, even in the losses, you saw how they could have beaten the team. You come away thinking 7 out of 10 times we get those guys. When they lost in the playoffs in 05, 06, and 07, you could not help but feel with a couple lucky plays, they'd be sizing rings again. This last game night, this last, this game
Saints
last
game.
Anyway, anyone who doesn't think the better team won just wasn't watching. I really think the last time I saw a team I didn't think the Pats could beat was in 01 in the St. Louis Rams. Am I alone? I think on a good day, the Pats could find a way to beat New Orleans, but it would take some serious luck.
I agree 100%. The Saints were the better team. But that's another thing that I was – Brady said, when we don't play well, we don't win. It's been that way four times this year. I would ask you, were there times in 07, 04, 03 when you didn't play well and you won?
And you won, yeah. Houston.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's
I think that's telling of where he thinks this team is and where this team
is.
That's
a good point. And I also think that that's fine for a team to have. You talk about the eight plays thing. You always look at it from your perspective.
Right.
You know, if we, you know, we handed them, you know, it's, I think Bill said, I think all of it was correctable. He was asked how much of it was correctable and how much of it was just getting physically. It's all correctable. Well, I think you always look at it when you're talking about your own team as we didn't play well. But the question is, how much different would it have been if you did play well?
Right.
Because I think the Patriots played extremely well for 58 minutes in Indianapolis, while I don't think the Colts played very well at all.
Right.
They found a way, obviously with a huge boost of help, they found a way to win the game. To bring up Andy's point, the Patriots used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
They used to find a way to win a game that they didn't play well all the time.
Yeah.
And I would disagree that. You have to go back to 01 to find a game that the Patriots lost where you didn't think the other team was better.
I think last year...
If you didn't think Pittsburgh was better last year, I mean, I don't know what you were watching. I mean, that was total domination in the second half.
Right.
And now, could it have been different if, like, Randy Moss had caught a couple of... Sure, but...
that they got all played pretty good. San Diego came in here a few years ago and blistered us.
Fred, you brought up Bill being positive this year, maybe a little more often.
Yeah.
Do you think that is a big picture intentional thing?
Yes.
I do too.
Yeah.
Because I think he learned a lot. Do you remember in 2002 when they buried the trophy in the closet and there was no talk of defending a title until December when they decided you need to remember why we have this and how to defend
it? Miami game?
I think he learned a lesson from that. And the lesson was the past can be useful. You sometimes do need to tell their troops that they are. And it's the same thing I said with Super Bowl 42. I don't think they treated that as an important a moment as they could have. And I think he sees this team and maybe realizes we're not great. We're not elite. And I need to tell them sometimes that they can be elite. It's not just assumed. And I do think there's something to that positive stance he's taken at times. Mm. Jonathan Wilhite got his jock handed to him by Reggie Wayne, and Bill said, I'm not sure he could have played it much better.
And he went on to say how great he thinks Reggie Wayne is.
Right.
You know, so don't feel bad, John. I mean, he didn't say that, but I think the message there is don't feel bad, Jonathan.
Right. This week, you got your asses handed to you, but if you had fixed eight plays, you'd still have your asses.
And I'm sure that was...
I'm not saying it always works. I'm not saying it means you're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think he's trying different tactics with a different type of team.
And you
have to Bruce, do that. It's not Vrabel. It's not I can't whip him. Because if I whip Telly Vantakane, he'll go in a corner, curl up, and the season's over.
That's
and he's finding out who he can whip.
Right.
You know, he doesn't know
Can he whip Adalys Thomas?
Probably not.
Ask Bill.
But he has. Not. He's benched him.
He did, but it hasn't worked. That's my point. I'm not sure he's a guy
who
got
benched and had 4.5 sacks in the next two games.
Right.
Adalys Thomas got benched and is still saying, ask Bill. He seems to have all the answers.
Right. But, you know, you have all these different guys like Wilhite and Butler and Mayo and Guyton. And, you know, Bill doesn't know how they're going to respond to this because they haven't been through it yet. So I think you're right, Andy. I think it's a little positive reinforcement. Remember what we used to say with Parcells, Freddie, when – just when you thought it would be one of those games that he was going to tear everybody a new one, it would be totally the opposite.
Right.
He'd tell you all the good things they did
when
they lost by 21.
Right.
Because you never know how your team feels, and you have to get a hold of that.
Backing up your point and evidence that you're probably right, Andy, is bringing in Sal for emotional support. You know, when else have we seen this with any team where you bring in a guy, a veteran like that,
you don't intend to use.
And he doesn't even play. You know,
and it's not like they have an abundance of roster.
I mean, he's on the roster.
I get a few.
You know, so that tells you that they need a guy in that locker room that is,
no question,
you know, keeping this thing together for these young guys.
No question.
You know? TG and NJ says, okay, you guys convince me. The Pats are going to lose this game. The Finns will rush with three, get pressure on our banged-up O-line, and they'll double Moss and Welker and leave it to Brady in the missing third option to try to win the game. It's going to be up to our defense. Uh-oh. What's the spread?
5.5.
Patriots up by 5.5?
Yeah.
So it's
the Dolphins are.
So it's really 8.5.
Okay.
Okay.
I like when he does the 3-point thing. He's always got to figure the 3 points in.
Aaron says, guys, I can't agree more with your thoughts on the third receiver. I've spent this whole season wishing we still had Stallworth, which is just unbelievable. Is this Tate kid going to be our number three next year, or do we need to go back to the draft looking for a wide receiver?
Well, close the door on Stallworth, because Stallworth wasn't going to be the guy. But Kelly Washington could have been the guy, and I don't know if he's good enough, but the guys they chose weren't. That's the bottom line. The guy they chose couldn't live up to his career billing, and now they're trying to force guys who their career billing is special teamers and Jags into that role, and it's just not working.
It kills me that everyone and their mother gushed over New England's collection of receivers and tight ends in spring training, and now we have nothing to speak of. And what is up with the running game? Maroney is looking a little better at just moving forward and not dancing, but can anyone on this team bowl somebody over? Fred Taylor, are you out there? Sammy, maybe Wilford can line up as fullback at some point. I'm ready for anything. Okay, men, keep up the good work. Eric, keep being mediocre. Also, Doc, good stuff yesterday on Shop Talk. It was hilarious when Christina freaked out because you dropped Andy talking about his Vienna sausage.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Well,
yeah, why are you playing that on
By the way,
shows?
I have an issue with the Shop Talk guys. The blue hoodie, all right? That you had to know that was going to be a big item. And somebody emailed the show saying, where's the blue hoodie? And they said that they ran out of them and, you know, they ordered a limited amount. How do you order a limited amount of that item?
Flanders is the only useless person here.
You know,
it's like play calling, Fred. Isn't there a skill to buying?
They said they didn't order too little. They just misjudged the demand. How is that not ordering too little?
Unexcused.
So I have an issue with the shop. How's that going, the shop talk show?
It was good for the first couple of weeks. It's kind of hit a little bit of a wall there.
Has it really?
Yeah, we're not getting any callers for the free items.
I think
I blame the item. We were giving away a Patriot logo Gillette Fusion razor the past two shows, and
giving away a razor blade.
I don't think that's been a big draw.
Not only is it not a big draw, you're lining yourself up to spend a lot of money on the refill cartridges. Those things are like $7 a freaking head.
Jeez, more than that. It's unbelievable. It's so expensive, but they are good.
They are the best.
Yeah,
but sometimes you can't afford the best. Just ask Bill.
Yeah.
And you signed
Paul, you use an electric razor?
I do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I want an electric
razor.
Why
did I know that?
Because you've asked him 6,000 times.
It's kind of like when you ask me if I like seafood.
To be fair, he doesn't know the answer to that question, so
which
he probably should
you
know
which
razor
you use. Which one do you use, the Braun?
I have a Norelco.
A Norelco three-head?
Yeah.
Is it an old one that you've been...
I probably need a new one. Well, I at least need to change the blades.
Because that's a good gift for a guy for Christmas.
I want one, but the problem is... How do you know what one is good?
Well, what's the best one?
I don't know. They range from $20 to $2,000.
I thought the Braun was the best.
I think Braun's pretty good.
Are all these gimmicks worth it, too? Like, they have the ones now, like, you put in a thing and it cleans itself or it keeps itself clean or something.
Oh,
yeah. All the players had them for a while in there. Brewski and all those guys had them. Or the ones that they can squirt in the shower. It's wet, dry.
Well,
it's got the little squirter.
Mine can be used wet or dry, but it doesn't have a cleaner thing.
But I don't think that... Electric shave gives you as close a shave.
It doesn't. I have no problem with my electric, but if I shave with the blade, it's a smoother
shave.
So why does the shave your money back? I just don't like it. It kind of irritates my skin a little bit.
Yeah.
What? The regular kind?
If I shave with a blade.
Here's well, I can only do it every other day.
After you shave with the blade, you get yourself some Kiehl's lotion for your face. K-I-E-H-L-S.
Isn't that a paint?
No, Kiehl's. And you put that on and it helps with the irritation.
Irritating.
So,
really gonna
but
do
if
this.
Anyone could tell us what is the best electric razor known to man, we'd like to know.
I would like to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Price, forget about price. We just want to know what the best is.
I'm willing to spend the $400
especially
or the $500
with you.
If it's good.
Yeah.
Price is no object, especially with you.
Well,
your Miele doesn't make
a
shaver.
I have to shave three times a day. So,
and you clogged up your tub.
I don't have a really, really thick beard. Obviously, I'm follically challenged and... It's not really that much different. I just have to kind of clean it up every morning, and then it's okay. But you're right. It's not a clean, like really smooth shave, even when I first do it, unless I spend a lot of time, and I might as well just use a blade if I do that.
Right. Let's see. Kevin writes in, hey there, Fred, Paul, and Eric.
Go F yourself, Kevin. How you like them apples?
Isn't it time for all of us to stop comparing this team to 07? This team reminds like the other Super Bowl winning teams, they weren't perfect in those years. We were not completely dominant in those years. There is a real chance for about six teams to get to and win the Super Bowl. Colts, Vikings, Saints, Patriots, Chargers. Okay, not six. I'm still confident, and as you guys have said, Belichick is still the best. He has had a bad day. He is allowed to after all the good games he's had. So
sure. Except for the part where they weren't dominant back in the day.
Well, especially in 04. I think you can make an argument there. Every bit as dominant in 04 as they were in 07.
Mm-hmm.
They lost two games as opposed to none heading into the Super Bowl. But every bit as dominant.
The defense was certainly better.
Offensively, they were record-setting, just in a different way. They ran the ball.
Ed writes in, who calls himself the Squid. He's from Cranston, Rhode Island. I've heard nothing but bad things on how the Patriots played against the Saints, and I think we all need to focus more on Sunday's game against Miami. Do you guys think that our defensive line will be able to hold Ricky Williams back enough to keep him out of the red zone where we seem to have trouble holding our defense? What is our back-end defense going to do in order to stop the passing game from Chad Henne, which seems to allow for yardage and high scores against us? Do you think that Maroney is going to have the opportunity to rush the ball more than he has been after the way he played on Monday? If we are going to win against Miami, which I think we should be able to do, what is going to be the key factors to accomplish this? Thanks for the input.
Stop Ricky Williams. Mayo and Wilfork. I always put those duo when I'm saying running game because I think it starts with them. Ty Warren I'll throw in there because he's a good run stopper. And, yeah, I think they'll stop Ricky Williams.
Yeah, do you think they'll have to move Wilfork around this time? I don't because they don't really have the threat of the buck sweep
with
Ricky Williams.
No, I don't. I think it'll be a traditional.
Yeah. I agree.
Probably a traditional 3-4 set. with Wilfork in the middle, Mayo and Guyton as your inside guys, probably Thomas and Woods on early downs, and then rotate in with Banta Kane and Burgess. But I think it's going to be old-school defense to stop the run until, you know, Pat White or whatever wrinkle they – because I'm assuming Miami's thinking – they're going to load up and do old-school defense, 3-4 style, pound us into submission and try to stop Williams. So what do I do as Miami to change that?
By the way, all of Tiger's mistresses, none of them look better than his wife. I don't know why he's cheating on his wife.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. That's not exactly why you cheat on your wife.
I know.
Because you're looking to upgrade, that's really... You know.
But it's even worse. If I'm the wife, I would feel even worse if he's cheating on me with a dog. Some of them look almost manly. Now, if he's banging Angelina Jolie, okay, he hit Angelina Jolie.
If my wife cheated on me, I could really...
Well, there's no chance the guy'd be uglier.
I couldn't care less if the guy was better or worse looking. It wouldn't make me feel worse if he was worse looking.
I would.
You know? I don't know. To me, it's totally...
You know, if my wife bangs Tom Brady, it's Tom Brady.
You see that the one that had the press conference today, canceled the press conference?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really understand what the press conference was.
Yeah, why are they having press conferences?
That one is just out for the fame. That's all she's about.
Well, I want to see her boobs.
Well.
Yeah, but his wife is really good looking.
I'm not going to get a chance to see her boobs.
Again, you're making it sound like that makes it worse because his wife is really good looking. It doesn't.
The worst part for me is she was 2 months pregnant. I mean, 2 months from delivering when it
first
started.
Oh, by the way, she's a 3-iron.
Right, and Jasper Parnevik said she should have used a 3-wood.
Right, yeah. It was a 3-iron.
He's not my new favorite golfer because just came out swinging.
Yeah, he feels bad because he introduced him. Did you know that, Freddie?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he set him up. He said
Parnevik's actually brought
thought he was a better guy
Elin
than
to the United States as their au pair.
Oh,
and you know, down the road,
I thought she was
Tiger.
A model or something.
Well, I think she did some modeling.
Oh,
she may. I don't know.
She's
I
smoking.
Know.
I think she, everybody she from over there does modeling.
She is
Swedish
beautiful.
Bikini team.
She is beautiful.
Okay, on the
Derek
phone right.
To the show?
I don't know. On the phone right now is Big Al. Big Al, let's make it quick because we got to get the picks. Al,
I'll make. Because how you doing, fellas? Happy
good.
Holidays. Thanks for the razor advice. I appreciate that.
Well, we're waiting. For
we're
it.
Waiting. We're looking for the advice.
Well, I all I can tell you is stand close. Stand close to your razor. That's all I can tell you. That's what they used to tell me.
Are you an electric?
Anyways,
are you an electric guy?
You know, I've just never been able to go there, you know, and that's, you know, a lot of buddies I know from the service and stuff use that because it's handy and, you know, if you need a quick shave, you know, you do. But
that's
I just,
what I do.
I just haven't been able to do that. I just have always done the blade and the soap. Mr. Kraft, they should love me because I definitely have kept the Gillette. I've done all I can for the Gillette
people.
Yeah,
well, good. You're a team player.
Oh, I'm a team player. That's over the years. That just not recently either. That's been going on for a long time. So
what do you got?
Know that. Anyways, listen. Am I the only man in America that doesn't give a rat's ass about this game Monday night that happened? I just don't care. It's non-conference, fellas. It doesn't matter. It's Bill Murray. Okay. It just doesn't matter. All right. What matters is Sunday against you know on the road against the Dolphins. When it's a division game and a conference game.
Well, you're right.
I don't care what happened
Monday
night.
You're talking about playoffs and all that, and you're really focused on that, you're absolutely right. But as far as where this team is and how they measure up, you know, if they had beaten the Colts, I would be right there with you. We beat the Colts. Who cares if we didn't beat the Saints? But we haven't beaten the Colts. We didn't beat, you know, that's what bothers me.
I understand. I understand, but you know what? These games don't happen in a vacuum. They all happen in relation to each other. And when the Dolphins choked that game in Buffalo on Sunday, to me that took all the steam out of the Monday night game.
Oh, yeah.
It would have mattered a lot more, and then you want to split those two games, Colts and Saints, and I get that. But once the Dolphins choked that game, you don't really need the game Monday night. You just need the name game this coming Sunday to stick a fork in the Dolphins. The Jets, if they're not already through, they're going to be through tonight. And then you got the division. After Sunday, we're going to have the division, I predict.
But even using your logic of some mental hurdle that they couldn't get past whatever, they got embarrassed like they've never been embarrassed in the Bill Belichick era.
That's
so even
why,
if they use the same logic all along, they've never been embarrassed like that, no matter what their mindset was going into a game.
Well, you know, I'd say they got embarrassed pretty bad 31-0 at Buffalo to start the season,
well,
2003.
That was different. That was different.
This was
you couldn't stop it. That was
mental.
Motion, mental, everything. This was
well, I
you
think there
couldn't
was a lot
stop.
Of motion in that building Monday night.
Not on the part of the Patriots.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is the Patriots kind of beat themselves before they ever showed up in Buffalo
right.
because they didn't want to play.
They hated their
okay.
coach.
This was a huge game for the Patriots. They said as much. They said wow. it constantly leading into the game, and they said it after the game. To their defense, they didn't downplay the loss after the game.
Nope.
They thought
that
was
a bad loss.
They might
have been saying everything leading into the game, guys, and I'm not questioning that, but once you find out on Sunday that your
division... What did they find out? They already know they're going to win the division. What did they find out on Sunday? That they have a two-game lead instead of a one-game lead?
Hey, wait a minute. Time out here.
Wow.
If the Dolphins had won that game Sunday...
They'd have a one-game lead instead of a two-game lead.
This game Sunday coming up would be for the division lead.
Right.
If the Dolphins had won that game
And I would argue that they can't afford to lose it Sunday any more than they could have then. They have, you know, they would be one game up with four to play. They don't want that situation. This is a big game Sunday, regardless of what happened last week in Buffalo.
Well, I think this game sets up as a chance for the Patriots to eliminate. It's an elimination game,
and it
for
was
the Dolphins,
it would have been either way.
To a first place game for the Dolphins.
See, I think it was an elimination game either way, and
okay.
And I think I totally get your point with Buffalo. I think that was a huge collapse by Miami,
right?
And it took a
All
lot
right.
of luster off this game for us. In terms of, you know, hyping it up, and it would have been a
right.
bigger game. I think you're
right.
absolutely right, Al. But I'm with Andy on this. The Patriots used that game Monday night as a measuring stick. And if you go by that and you listen to where they talked after the game, Bill himself said, they played very well. We can see why they're 11-0, and we weren't even close.
Big gap between the
Big
two
gap
teams.
Between
well,
the two teams.
I take your point, Paul, and I agree that we need to win a road game in somebody else's building here pretty damn quick and to establish that, if nothing else. And maybe, again, that's you get a two-for-one doing that this Sunday. You finally beat somebody in their home stadium in 2009, and you clinch the division. So they got a lot to play for Sunday. If they come out flat Sunday, then, you know, I'm going to be more discouraged than I am now.
But that's kind of Paul's point. It's a big game regardless whether they had won or whether Miami had won.
It would have been bigger.
It's still a big game.
It would have been bigger. It would have been for the division. But I think that winning the division or not, I think you're kind of looking at it now as you may. And I think most of us feel they're going to win their last five games. And that, to me, I feel that way. And it won't tell me anything more than I know today.
Right.
You know, because – and if they had lost competitively in New Orleans, if they had played,
right.
you know, and they lost, you know, 38-34.
Like
we
thought.
I wouldn't be looking at it the same way. I would be right with you, Al. I would say, you know what? It was out of conference. We talked about it last week. It's out of
right.
conference. It's not really that huge a game. But
you look at the Vikings. The Vikings have lost one game this year at Pittsburgh. Who cares? You know, if they end up 15-1, they might as well be undefeated. I mean, that's if your one loss is out of conference, especially on the road, you always want to win at
home.
The
only thing is that one loss might prevent them from hosting the conference title game.
Well,
depending
that's
on
true.
How it goes.
If things run the table, that's
yeah.
true enough.
Right. Now,
but
the Patriots
probably
didn't lose that, but they may have lost a chance for the bye.
But if the Saints lose one game, and if the game that they lose is in the NFC, and they're both 15-1, who gets the home game? The Vikings.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, to me, I just don't, I understand, I know the Patriots, you want to use it as a measuring stick, and they didn't look good, and they pulled Brady. I think they wouldn't have pulled Brady with 5 minutes to go if that's not a non-conference game. It's because it really didn't matter to start with, and I think it says a lot more about the Saints and what that game meant to them emotionally than what it meant for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think if they're down 38-17 Sunday and Brady's getting pounded on every play.
Right.
5 minutes left, he's coming out.
Understood.
All right.
Take care, fellas.
Okay, Al, thanks.
We'll get him. We're gonna take this one and take the division.
All right. We're all with you, Alex, except Eric.
I like it, Al.
All
right, Eric's back, and we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with an Argyle sweater Eric about where he's
such
been.
A fool.
Goodbye.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto-reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly.
We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
So it's 1:45, so Eric, we do need to get your fact of the day.
My favorite class in high school, acting.
Acting?
Acting, my senior year.
They had a class in your high school for acting?
St. Paul's, they have a class for everything, Fred. The most elite prep school in the country.
Who has gone to St. Paul's that made it elite?
Pompous jerks. John Kerry, Hobie Baker, Judd Nelson from Breakfast Club.
Strippers adds that Don Sweeney.
That's right.
And Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
God. That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here quickly. John in Dallas says the best electric razor is Braun's Pulsonic System 959cc with LCD screen. Best shave. Plus you just
LCD. Does it have an HD?
Plus you just drop it into its charger and it auto cleans, lubes. Don't get any weird ideas, Fred. And charges. James writes in and says, Andis Lubricant. Makes excellent razors. Admittedly, they are for horse and cattle, but it sounds like what Fred might need. The Delta 3 model product sheet is attached. It includes, and I quote, special blades for dirty cattle hair and special udder clipping blade set. Let me know how it goes.
Oh. Clip your udders?
Isn't an udder a nipple?
You're looking for an electric razor, Fred?
We were talking about whether or not we use, the blade or electric. Paul uses electric. I use blade.
Blade, yeah.
You know, for electric, what is the best electric razor out there?
I think a Braun, isn't it?
That's what he just said.
That's what John just said.
The Pulsonic.
I don't know which one.
959cc.
With LCD.
I think I have used a Braun.
What do you need an LCD for?
At one point. They are good.
It's an elongated screen.
I just want to know if it comes in HD.
So. All right, Eric's back, and where have you been?
Yeah, at practice.
And?
Good news, Sebastian Vollmer was back.
Wow.
In full pad. The team was in full pads in their throwback uniform, so the offense was wearing red, defense was wearing white with the numbers. But team effort, we got all the attendance. Fred Taylor and Brett Lockett were the only missing players. Everybody else was out there. Again, full pads. They were in the bubble, a little bit hot. Up in that piece, Paul.
It could be about 80 degrees.
So I think they were
probably had it cranked up a little bit.
Probably had it cranked up a little bit.
Can you wear shorts Saturday night?
Sure.
Probably. Yeah.
Please don't, though. Your hairy little chicken legs.
Would you rather I shave them like you?
No, I'd rather wear your long pants.
I'm not wearing long pants.
Are you going to make fun of me, too, then? Because I'm
wearing
shorts.
Oh, my God. It's going to look like...
You don't have a punchline.
Bunch of tourists walking down the street in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, because none of the locals will be wearing shorts.
That wasn't even funny in any way.
That's why he gave
I think that's
the
why he's trying to help Fred out.
Usually it's mildly. That was just nothing. There was nothingness there.
What?
Go. Speaking of nothingness.
So there you go. Practice report. That's it. Done. Picks. Let's go. 20 minutes.
And no black jerseys because they lost.
Lost. Yeah.
They got about as far from black jerseys as you could get.
A lot of media.
There were 53 Saints wearing black jerseys.
No more than usual.
They
any
got
comments
them.
On your sweater?
None. No, Fred. Nobody's as obsessed about it as
will
you are.
Will you wear a sweater in Fort Lauderdale if it's warm out?
Sweater vest?
In Fort Lauderdale.
Do you own a sweater vest?
Turn into a Kennedy.
No, because that defeats the point. If you're going to wear a sweater, wear a sweater. The vest, even like a jacket vest. If you're going to wear a jacket, wear a jacket.
I think I had one in like middle school in my Boys to Men era.
I absolutely had one.
Probably wear them with jean shorts or something,
probably.
Too.
I had one in elementary school, and I got made fun of for it, and I never wore it again.
You know what's interesting? Capello, our friend Mark Capello, who's – you remember his whole rave about if you're going to shave, shave. Remember he got all upset because somebody –
if you're going to shave, shave.
Remember? Because somebody had the scruff, but they shaved the bottom part, and they trimmed the beard so that it looked like it was scruffy. And he got all upset saying, well, if you're going to shave, just shave.
Right.
And he wears a sweater vest a lot. So I'm thinking, if you're going to wear a sweater, wear a sweater.
Well, tell him that.
I think I might the next time I see him, which won't be till Saturday. But
all right. All right. Well, that's the practice report from Eric. Now, despite all these guys being there, that doesn't mean they won't be listed as limited.
Oh, they'll be – half the team will be listed on the
injury 17 report. People were questionable last
this
week.
This is ridiculous. This is the most I've ever think that it was listed,
19
right?
that limited or 20 with limited? It grew by two or three.
Yeah.
And for a walkthrough,
I think we're now up to
– it was a walkthrough yesterday. On the injury report.
Saw Fred Taylor again.
Yeah.
He looks bigger.
Really?
Yeah.
In the stomach or?
No, the shoulders.
Okay, good.
Been lifting.
Good.
That is really what I thought when I saw him. Wow, he's bigger than I remembered.
Okay.
It's only been like 2 months.
The surprising aspect of this trip around the NFL, Andy, is Fred's actually going to be right for a change. We are going to have to kind of hustle.
Yeah, we're going to have to hustle. All right, let's get going. What happened last week?
Last week,
Kenyon.
I took the lead.
Fat guy.
For the week, 12-4. Andy went 11-5. Fred went 10-6. Eric was 9-7.
Took it on the chin.
With the spread, I also took that one at 10-6. Andy was 9-7. Fred was 8-8. And Eric was 5-11.
Worst week of the season.
Took it on the tonsils.
So the season standings as we speak, Andy and Eric in a flat-footed tie.
Flat-footed. You see that? You went with the marathon theme there.
120-56.
Put our flats on.
They're both 120 and 56.
I Kenyon.
117 and 59, just three games back. Fred is 106 and 70.
How many games back?
Oh, too many 14? Accounts. That's 14.
Wow. I could go 0 for a week, and you could go. That's amazing.
With the spread, Eric and I are tied.
Oh, where's the Kenyon?
93, 82, and 1. Andy's three back at 90, 85, and 1. And Fred, 77, 98, and 1.
Oh, boy.
That's past his tonsils. That's in his stomach.
Fred almost snarfed.
16 games
back.
So
I've never seen that
Fred's
before.
Face is about as red as it can get right now.
He almost snarfed all over his
Diet
computer.
Coke.
Wow.
So we'll start off tonight in Toronto, Andy Hart.
Oh, no.
The New York Jets are at Buffalo at Rogers Center. Bills getting three.
Bills getting three. Despite the Bills winning last week, I still think they stink. The Percy fuel is gone, so I'll go with the Jets.
Well, it's a tough one. I'll take the Jets, though. I think they're a little bit of a better team.
I also will take the Jets. I think that they lost a terrible game to Buffalo the first time around, and they want revenge for that.
I think because Buffalo won last week, I'm picking the Jets. Plus, there is crying in Canada.
PFW fan's worst nightmare tonight before the game. Matt Millen sits down with Rex Ryan. We know how much they hate Matt Millen because he shouldn't be allowed to do interviews. And
shouldn't
Rex
be allowed
Ryan
to live.
Is Rex Ryan.
He oversaw an 0-16 team. He should have been executed.
And Fred just hates the pregame show. Go.
Terrible. Denver at Kansas City. Chiefs getting 4.5 at home.
I will take.
It's not going to be enough.
I'll take Denver to win and cover.
Yeah.
Although I think this is going to be a tight dogfight. The Chiefs have continued to, more often than not, fight at home, and the Broncos just aren't that good.
Yeah, they're not that good, but they're better than Kansas City, even in Arrowhead. I'll take the Broncos both ways.
Yeah, I like the Broncos, too. They had 10 days to prepare. They finally got a win, got it going with that game against the Giants. I think they keep it going against an inferior opponent.
Yeah, definitely Denver wins this game. I think their defense is good enough to stifle Kansas City.
And Fred is angry at the oven
glove. I don't understand. What is this? They're advertising an oven glove.
It really is foolish.
Mean, oven mitts and pot holders don't work anymore.
Of gloves. They're not enough.
Yeah, we've gone 1,000 years with this other stuff. Now we have to have a five-finger glove
this
for taking pots out of the stove.
This from the guy who, you know,
talk about ripping people off.
Wanted soap with a slot.
Right. And then got angry when he found soap with a slot.
No, I just don't. That this is a, that's a.
It's like what's that movie Knocked Up when they're working on the Mr. Skin website?
Yeah,
and they find out that it's been out for 8 years. Oakland at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Don't know about Roethlisberger, you know. And you have made the point off the air, Andy. How are the teammates? How is he reacting to some quote unquote questioning of
his teammates?
Hate
their quarterback? And
but 14.5 points. That's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points. But the Steelers still have what they've always had and will have for quite a long time. Mendenhall is ridiculous. He will run his way to victory. You will see him crack 200 yards in this one, and they will cover.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Pittsburgh will win.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
I like Pittsburgh in this game big, and I tell you, I think if they don't cover – I think Oakland wins, and Pittsburgh is done. D-U-N.
Really?
But I don't think that'll happen. I think they're going to win their last five games. They don't really have a tough opponent left.
Yeah.
As long as they stay healthy.
I'm predicting Roethlisberger will play, they will win, and they will cover.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
All right, moving on to a couple of some tight games this week. Houston at Jacksonville. Pick them.
I don't want to pick either. I hate both teams. I think they're both frauds. I'll take Jacksonville because they're at home. You know I will not. I'll take Houston. They'll put up some yards through the air.
I'll take Jacksonville, I guess. This is a horrible game.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take Houston. Well, what makes those games tough? It's not two horrible teams. It's just two utterly mediocre teams.
Right. Yeah.
And those sometimes are worse
because you don't.
There's no intrigue.
Yeah,
there
and
at
you
all.
don't know about either team.
Yeah,
you can't figure either team out.
And either team could show up. Maurice Jones-Drew could rush for 600 because that's what people
Matt
do
Schaub
against Houston.
Matt Schaub could throw for 400.
Or Matt Schaub could throw for 400 to Andre Johnson.
Right.
Whichever one lives up to one of those is going to win.
I'm going to take Houston to win the game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Houston. They actually win big, and people start worrying about that Texans game on the schedule.
Tennessee at Indy. We got to move right along. Yeah. We're under the gun.
Colts
by 6.5.
Colts by 6.5.
Who is it this? I forgot. Who are they playing?
Tennessee at Indy.
I'm going to take the Colts to win because they have Peyton Manning. They're the better all-around team. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take the points. My guy Vinsanity keeps it young and actually
keeps
gives them a keeps it close and actually gives
like
them a scare late. It is. Keeping it young, keeping it real.
What do you got?
What's that point number again there, High Hope?
6.5.
I'll take Indy to win and cover.
I am with Eric. I'm going to take Indy to win and cover. I think this is the last one, however. I just don't think anything of Tennessee. I don't care how many games in a row they've won. I think that this is the last
the
one.
Now you're doing with the Titans.
This is the last one for the Colts because I think this will pretty much they'll be up, what, 3 with 4 to play, and then all of a sudden they put it into overdrive for that number one seed.
You mean underdrive?
Yeah, you're right. Downshift.
Downshift.
Underdrive.
You're right.
Where's that button on my car?
I think that Caldwell is going to do exactly what Dungy used to do, and they will not go undefeated because they won't really care about it.
They've already said it. I mean,
I am going to predict that Tennessee wins, mostly from hope, but big upset.
All right. Philadelphia is at Atlanta, where the Falcons are getting 5.5 at home.
Chris Redman's going to be the quarterback?
I believe so.
What do you got there, Freddie?
I have to go
injury.
A deer in headlights look would be the
injury
report.
Do you
want me to go first?
Injury report.
Oh, injury report.
I'll take the Eagles. We don't have time. Thank you.
Eagles. Redman's going to play probably.
All right.
Sucks.
I was going to take the points, but if Ryan's not playing, wow, that must be a debilitating toe injury. But I'm going to take Philadelphia
to
win in cover.
Well, yeah, guys are out for a long time. So.
Yeah, running backs, not quarterbacks. God, Eli Manning's played with plantar fasciitis.
Not well.
Yeah, and not
but
well.
But he's played.
Not well.
Not well at all.
I'll go with Philadelphia in this game. Got to hurry.
Sorry. Detroit is at Cincinnati where the Bengals are favored by 13 big ones.
Those Bengals are idiots. They had the Raiders, the Browns, and the Lions in consecutive weeks, and they blew
that's why
it
everybody
by losing
said,
the
everybody
first
said
one.
They were as good as 10-2.
What a frippin' moron. I'll take the Bengals. What was the spread?
13.
13.
Ah, sure, they'll cover. All those Samoans will force turnovers.
Yeah, very, very rude.
Hi. Are they Tongans?
You're very, very rude.
That's just poor to me.
I like Cincy in this game, too. I'll take Detroit.
Oh, for God's sake. You just said you like Cincinnati.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
All right. To the Cincinnati.
Tongans. Cincinnati pick.
Cincinnati, but they don't cover.
Detroit can't win. Can't do anything on the road.
Detroit covers.
All right. We have New Orleans at Washington. Redskins getting 9.5 biggies at home.
I'll never pick against New Orleans again. They're the best football team I've seen in years. I'm sticking with what's fresh in my mind, baby.
Yeah. Can't pick against them. They're going to go 16-0.
Yeah, I like the Saints in this one, too. I, for some reason, can't imagine it being as easy as we think it's going to be. Right. You know, they never put together a game like that again. But Washington's just so bad that it's hard to.
And they can't score.
It's hard to pick the points. It's hard to take the points with a team like that. I'm going to take the Saints.
I'm actually going to take Washington to win this game. And
out of hope.
Patriots fans.
Desperation.
Both Patriots pitch fans contest and league.
Just spend the weekend going, what the F?
Just so you know, you've established the trend that's going to happen from here on out.
He's picking against us?
No, against the Colts and against the Saints every game.
I thought he was also picking against us so he could pick up games in the contest.
No, I could care less. I'm way behind. I don't care about that.
Oh, yeah. He can't. Tampa Bay at Carolina.
It's a good game.
There's the two bad teams playing each other. 6 points, Carolina.
Favorite. I'll take the best player on the field, D'Angelo Williams.
No, Steven Smith.
No. He can't do anything with Matt Moore throwing to him.
Do you know if he's playing or if A.J. Feely is playing?
No, I don't. I don't
okay.
care.
Go ahead.
I'll still take Carolina and the points.
I know DeLome is not playing, but that's actually a plus for the Panthers. I like Carolina as well. Although I have been reasonably impressed with Josh Freeman.
Sure. Fred's reading.
Crickets.
I'm going to take Carolina. I was just looking for the injury report here.
Get a 17-page.
Let's see.
Okay, St. Louis is at Chicago.
DeLome did not participate.
Chicago. He's not playing.
Already picked that game.
St. Louis at Chicago. Bears by 9.
Here's another bad game. I'll take the Bears because they're a better team.
At
home, I'll take them. I don't feel comfortable about the points all really, but I can't really take the Rams ever.
I'll take Chicago to win. Give me the points, though. St. Louis will cover that.
Yeah, Eric's right. I'll take the points, too. Two bad teams. That's too many points.
You know, talk about bad person almost. Jay Cutler. Boy, they're really on him in Chicago. But I'm going to take him anyway. Got to hurry.
San Diego is at Cleveland. Cleveland is getting 13 at home.
Oh, it's not going to be enough.
It's not enough since they only score 3, and I think the Chargers generally score more than 16. I'll take the Chargers to win and cover.
Yeah, big time, San Diego.
Yeah, I like San Diego in this one. Not sure what the rest of their schedule looks like, but this is not good for the Patriots if they're playing.
How can you not take San Diego?
All right, gotta hurry.
Gotta hurry. San Francisco is at Seattle. Pick them.
I'll pick San Francisco because Mike Singletary runs out into the red zone to call timeouts, and I like it. The intensity he shows as a coach trickles down to his team, and they get it done.
Seattle, they're the home team.
Wow.
Wrong.
I'm going to take San Francisco. I think they're still playing hard. And I don't think
they're afraid of their coach.
I don't think they're overly talented, but I think they play hard, competitive football. And
I'm going to take San Francisco too. Their quarterback's doing all right. They say
Smitty.
He actually is playing reasonably well.
Smitty.
Minnesota is at Arizona in the new Sunday night game.
Oh yeah.
Yep. God bless the flex.
Where the Cardinals are at home, getting 5.5, I believe, without Kurt Warner.
It'll
help.
I don't really care. I'm taking the Vikings. I've bought into the Vikings, their business-like approach. They do what they need to do every week. They come out, they get a lead.
And they're wearing their old uniforms a lot more often, too.
Cruise to victory. And they're every single week making Eric eat his words. And when Brett Favre accepts the MVP trophy, he's going to dedicate it to Eric.
What the hell are you guys up to now?
Minnesota. Lay the points,
Kurt Warner, full participation on Wednesday.
Okay, then I'm going to take Minnesota to win the game, but I'll take the points. Arizona to cover. I actually think Arizona, if Warner's 100%, I actually think Arizona's going to win the game. But
wow, really?
I'll couch it and no, say
I
that.
I think Minnesota wins and covers.
Yeah. Big day for Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
All right, here. Dallas is at the Giants.
Big day for Jared Allen.
The Giants getting 2 at home. How the mighty have fallen. A home underdog, New York football Giants.
I can't pick for the Giants, so I'll pick against them, and I'll take the Dallas Cowboys. And we now have the answer to why the balls to Roy Williams are all over the place, and he feels like to Miles Austin they're perfect. See, during the bye week, Tony Romo and Miles Austin went on vacation together. They got a little bromance going.
Cabo?
I think they went to Vegas. Same kind of thing.
It's the last time I know. The Jessica Simpson thing. I think that's Dallas. Both ways.
I will take the Fred Kirsch upset, and I'll take the Giants. Dallas at the Giants. Giants,
yeah, this is
Giants getting 2.
Giants getting 2. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Giants as well. I'm going to go with the Giants. Big upset.
All right, the Monday From night Hope. Game, Baltimore at Green Bay. Ravens, I'm sorry, Packers by 3.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
I am going to take the Packers because they're at home, and I don't have a ton of confidence in either of these teams really at this point in the season,
so
I'll take the home team.
Yeah,
I agree with that rationale. I'll take Green Bay both.
Yeah, I'm going to die on the sword of the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know why I think they're better than they are, because they're not. And if I watched them Sunday night, they looked dreadful. Yeah, against
even against Dennis Dixon,
the even Packers winning, have, but I'll take the Ravens.
The Packers have disappointed me this year, so I'm going to take the Ravens as well. Big win, even though it was against a depleted Pittsburgh team last week. That could be a boost for them.
All right, and that wraps us up. Patriots, Andy,
Junior,
5.5.
Houston Oilers, they stole this song from the team that doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
Houston Oilers.
You have a flair for that lyric writing.
Houston Oilers.
It just flows. It just flows right in rhythm.
That was terrible.
It was.
As I said, I think this is a bounce-back game, kind of like the Jets. I think the Patriots stop Ricky Williams. I think that's all they have in Miami right now, and save for some freak Pat White day where he has 180 yards rushing and throws a touchdown. That's my only fear. I don't think it's a very big one. I think the Patriots put up some points. I think it's pretty easy. 31-13, New England carouses.
Yeah, I think they're one-dimensional now with Ricky Williams being the only legitimate back there. Pat White will probably see more action, but that's not going to help. Chad Henne's not going to do anything against them. Patriots will win this game.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Patriots as well. We talked about all the reasons. I just don't think Miami has enough firepower to bother the struggling secondary coming off that game. 27-19 is my pick. Normally at this time, Andy, I have the notebook all closed up, because once I find out your pick, I usually write in the other three, but I can no longer do that in good conscience, because our leader, Fred Kirsch, doesn't just always blindly pick the Patriots. Now, I was able, however,
Eric,
to continue to write in Eric's
right.
pick, because as he said yesterday, even if I think they're going to lose, I'm going to pick them to win.
I'm not.
It's
no.
True. You said it. No. Not me.
No,
credibility.
Did you say that inside the playbook, too?
Didn't say that inside the playbook.
I love going inside the playbook.
As we said earlier in the show, I would be shocked if the Patriots lose this game. Not to say that Miami can't make it competitive like Paul thinks, but I think at the end of the day, Patriots pull away 33-13 about. I just can't see them coming out and putting up a stinker, and that's what it will take for them to lose to the Dolphins. So.
Word.
All right.
I would agree with that. They'd have to put up a stinker to lose this game.
John Rook is here.
Fred.
Hi, John.
Hi, Fred.
How you doing?
He's doing
Thanks.
The Adam Schefter. He's got his little BlackBerry out like he's going to
no,
get an important
it's not working.
Right
guy,
phone call.
When
it's
Fred
not
and
working.
I were talking to Adam Schefter, he was actually working the BlackBerry as he was answering us.
Yeah, he does work.
Can people follow John Rook on Twitter?
Yes, they can.
They can. What
you have a Twitter account?
I do.
Is it at John Rook?
It's at JRook0722.
Why so crazy?
Because Jay Rook and John Rook were taken.
Really?
Who
else is John Rook?
About, I have no idea. Somebody stole my name.
About,
I don't know.
What about Rook Fryer or something like that?
No. Because I didn't want to just, put myself as a PC guy or a Patriots
you
guy.
You want to pigenhole yourself.
Right. No. So it's
this is John Rook at large.
JRook
at
large. 0722.
That's a good one. Let's change it.
John Rook at large. The Keller at large.
What are the numbers? What?
0722?
No, no. What are like?
What are the numbers? 07 is the month I was born. 22 is the day.
And 22 is the amount of followers he has. No,
no, that's the Patriots.
Woo!
Yeah, that's real Patriots.
All right, John, so what's going on today with you?
Well, Eric's going to come back and be in the playbook.
Wow.
He's going inside
He's
the playbook.
He's going inside the playbook. Playbook.
That's wow. the yeah. playbook.
I know that thrills Paul to know
I like
that.
It. I really like that.
I like sure. that idea. Russell Baxter from ESPN will be here. We'll kind of look at the Miami Dolphins. Unlike you guys, I think that this last week really uncovered some defensive liabilities that I think we've been sort of had mashed over the last few weeks. I think the Patriots win, but I don't think it's quite as easy as you guys think. I'd say 33-24.
Okay. All right.
I would agree about the masking part. It just yeah. I don't think this is a team that can expose the
you're right.
You know, wipe away the makeup.
You're right, but I'm gonna give Miami a little bit of the credit, and I'm just gonna say that somebody's gonna get burnt for something. What happened?
What the hell's going on
okay
over
there?
Here?
I'm just blowing away the crumbs off the laptop.
Well, that's very nice of you, seeing as I'll be typing on that right. laptop here very shortly.
Right.
So now you're going to end up with H1N1 instead. That's cool.
All right. Well, John Rook is next with Patriots Playbook.
I'm going to bring
the lights. Stay tuned at 4 o'clock for the B-Low, and we'll be back. See you next Tuesday.